Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance Monday night open forum here on Blog Talk Radio. Got a lot of things to go over tonight. I don't know if Gerard's online yet. I haven't seen him come in yet. But anyway, I guess we'll start with, as far as New York, we don't have any real new updates for New York yet. I've been really swamped and I haven't been able to really finish up writing up the two bills that we're going to file up in Greene County. And hopefully we're going to get it done in the next day or two, and we're still going to try to get to the sheriff by the end of the week and see if we can't get him to, you know, do his job, which we're going to be looking for him to arrest those two individuals, the clerk up there in Greene County and also the judge. But anyway, we'll give you some updates on that next week, but we do have a lot of other things going on. One of the things I'd like to talk about is we're trying to really get moving across the states to make sure we have each state moving towards organizing. Some states are moving quite quickly, and some states not so quickly. And one of the key things is we need to make sure that we have state coordinators in every state. So I kind of broke the state up in four parts by time zones. I did send out an email recently, and I made some notes of this. I just want to go quickly through this tonight. Eastern time zone here, we have Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New Hampshire. Now, Connecticut, I think we've got quite a few people piling up in there, if I recall. But in any event, we don't have any state coordinators in those four states. And so all the states on the eastern time zone, maybe they can kind of focus in on those states close by you that do not have a state coordinator. Maybe give a call. You go onto their page, look at the county organizers, and try to encourage some of those people maybe to pick up the place of state coordinator for their state. If we don't have a state coordinator really working to try to keep things going, making phone calls, organizing, keeping a conversation happening, trying to find new organizers in different counties where we don't have any, you know, we're not going to develop a state. And it's extremely important, of course, that we try to get all of these counties, 3,143 of them, organized and constituted with common law grand juries. That will be true power. And any state that is able to accomplish that goal, of course, then they will have really true power. I don't think they'll be able to resist all the counties with people with a constituted common law grand jury. All right, the next time zone, Central time zone. We need North Dakota, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Wisconsin. So we've got five states in the central time zone that we do not have state coordinators in. So, you know, we got Oklahoma and Louisiana and Mississippi. So, you know, you've got Tennessee and Alabama and Texas. You know, the state coordinators there or even the county coordinators should be working to help the state coordinators. Maybe they can make some calls and try to encourage the people in those states to really, you know, find someone to take the leadership role in order to organize their state. Mountain time. In the mountain time zone, we lack state coordinators for Idaho and Wyoming. So that's all, two states. Idaho and Wyoming. Recently, New Mexico was without a state leader, and I don't remember if it was today or yesterday. Someone gave me a call, and they took on that role. So we now have a state coordinator for New Mexico. Now, in the Pacific time zone, We don't lack any states. All the states in the Pacific time zones do have state coordinators. Now, we do have state coordinators in Alaska and Hawaii, and we've got people moving out there. But maybe the people, the states in the Pacific time zone, maybe you can give a call to the state coordinators out there and the county coordinators out there and try to help them by encouraging them. I know I've talked with a few people who said that they knew people in Alaska and Hawaii. If you know anybody, if anybody anywhere in anywhere in any of the states knows anybody in Alaska or Hawaii, maybe they can call them up and encourage them to join up the National Liberty Alliance within their states there and participate with helping us to organize and create common law grand juries. Now, remember, the leadership roles here, you know, people can give them up if other people come on, if they really don't want to keep them very long or they want to pass it to someone. You can pass it to anyone. And everybody should be working together to develop their state. And again, it's the state coordinator's job to make sure that happens. If a state wants more than one state coordinator, we're set up for that. So we can have as many as necessary. Some of the largest states, like Texas, they got quite a few counties there. So, you know, we'd want quite a few state coordinators helping out. Some states, you know, New York, we broke New York into four sections, and we got three state coordinators working on that. So, you know, if you need two, three, or four coordinators, just let us know, and we'll make sure that those people are checked off so that they have the authorities that the state coordinators have on the website. Okay, so 12 states, we need to get state coordinators. It's extremely important, and only if we work together we're going to get this accomplished. It is important that all state coordinators come to these Monday night meetings. This is where we update each other. This is where, you know, we get questions and answers. Anything new, sometimes we might have to correct something, and this is the place to do it at. So it's very important that all the state coordinators, you know, put out a good example and show up at these meetings. Now, also, we have a lot of county organizers, and they should be here, too. If we had all the county organizers coming here, you know, we'd have 1,000 people. So we really need participation. So it's up to the state coordinators to make sure that those county organizers are moving and doing things. I've been involved in a lot of organizing over the years, and unless people are on the phones talking to people, trust me, everyone's sleeping. So we've got a lot of people that are sleeping. We've got to wake them up. We've got to get them going. You've got to get them on the phones. You've got to push them a little. You know, make an arrangement. You're going to call them back the next day or two and follow up and just keep going. Before you know it, everybody becomes active and they're doing. It becomes an excitement and we're getting things done. And we're going to talk about some of the strategies we're using here in New York on organizing shortly. So let's get all the state coordinators and let's get all the county organizers. Let's get them to these meetings and up to date and up to par. Now, I get a lot of people who send me email asking me questions, or I get phone calls, people asking me questions and things. And, you know, apparently a lot of people are not really reading the website. You know, last week we went through the website, and if you haven't heard last week's program, you should probably go out and listen to it. And we went through the website to show everything that we have on the website. Our website literally offers an education. So you need to get up there and to bone up on all the necessary things you need to bone up on, like the common law, American history, court access, the Constitution. So everybody should be studying, I mean, at minimum 1 hour a day, minimum, bare minimum. I mean, most of us watch TV 2-3 hours a day. Give up those 2-3 hours. Give up half that time. And let's get going on understanding common law and procedure and process. And let's get involved in making phone calls and getting more people moving. We do have some problems that have come up over the past week. We've had some problems in the past, and we've tried to nip it as quick as we could, and I think we've done it again as quick as we could. But it's up to the people. It's up to the grassroots peoples to find the people that come amongst us that maybe are an ego trip or something, or they have some hidden agenda, or they're just taking us, the people, down the wrong path. And we have to get rid of these problems. And so far, they've been showing up. I get a call here or there, and the grassroots people are taking care of some of the problems. I've become aware of some of the problems, and there's one problem that has come up and I got to deal with. I haven't been able to make a phone call yet, but I will be making a phone call to this individual. They wrote me a letter, you know, an email, and they told me that, you know, they're all for what we're doing and so on and so forth, but we out here in, I won't tell you what state, in whatever state it was, that we figure that the only problem that National Liberty Alliance has is that they don't have any teeth. They don't have anything to make things happen. So they decided that they're going to start to do commercial liens on judges and different people. And I'm going to make the phone call to correct that. That's a major error. And if I can't convince them to change their thinking, I'm going to ask them to leave National Liberty Alliance and don't bring up our name. If people go out there, that's an act of war. Okay, it certainly is not an act of peace. It's an act of war. And there's, you know, we go out there and start assaulting people, they're going to assault us back. And that's not what we're about. We're about mercy. We're about coming with humility. We're coming with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And we're not there to attack people and to force people in different ways. That's only going to give a bad name for National Liberty Alliance. And they're dying to label people that are a problem to them as terrorists and things of that nature. Everybody knows that. Now, we did have another problem with another person who went someplace and they had a weapon on them. And not that they did anything wrong with it, but I guess people knew, from what I understand. And they were pretty pushy. And he, you know, our name was used, National Liberty Alliance. And one of the commissioners or somebody who he had been talking to mentioned something about these people are like Timothy McVeigh. Hey, we don't need this kind of stuff. Anybody that wants to get onto some kind of an ego trip, they should leave right now. We don't need you because you're only going to destroy everything we're trying to do. And if you've made an error and done those things, then, you know, let's just stop it and let's do the right thing. Let's go forward. We have a plan. We have looked and done a lot of research to see how to do this. We've seen a lot of people try this in the past, and they've gotten nowhere. They never got into the courts. A lot of people didn't even know or didn't even try to get into the courts. They didn't even understand that they need to be sitting in that courthouse under the auspices of justice at arm's length from the judge, which means run away, stay away, don't touch me. In other words, you're not part of me. We're the people. We're here to do the people's job, which is to watch over you. So we have a plan. We've done a lot of research. We've laid it out. And when people get into power, it's going to be up to them to do the right thing. We're not about controlling anybody. We're not about telling people what to do. We just want to inform and educate and unite people. That's what we're doing here. And if you don't believe in what we're doing, if you don't believe the process that we can achieve it the way we're doing, then, and you want to do it another way, you're free to do that. But don't come here to work off of this website and to rob people away from the project that we have going and to cause problems and havoc that's going to give National Liberty Alliance a bad name. You know, we're going to get a lot of crap from people anyway. We don't need this kind of stuff. We have to have a good attitude. We have to do it right. So please, you know, either work with us or don't. In any event, this kind of moved me to change some information on our website when people register. And so I sent out an email, and everybody that's registered on our website got a copy of this email. And anybody who is joining after, they will be reading this before they join. So I'm going to read this real quickly. It's not too long. So when you go to register on our website, you'll get this message first and foremost before you fill out the form. And it says, by registering on this site, you are registering to be placed on a juris pool in your county. You are required to use your real name and email address. where you can receive messages. If you elect to be a county organizer, your phone number will be listed on the website. All other data will only be viewable by you and site administrators. By registering on this site, you hereby swear that the following facts, names, addresses, etc. are true, correct, and not misleading. 2, you are one of the people of one of the United States. 3, you are registering with good intentions and agree with National Liberty Alliance's foundational principles of honor, justice, and mercy, and therefore are not registering to spy out our liberties that you or others you serve might bring the people into bondage. And I gave the definition of spy, or the biblical definition of spying, which is a talebearer, or one who a slanderer, a backbiter. So anybody that's coming into this website with different motivations or different ideas, and you don't want to go along with these things, then you should separate yourself from us. 4, that you are not a member of the bar. And 5, you are not a government agent, i.e., a representative of state or federal agency or bureau. Okay, so anybody who disagrees with that, we're firm on that. We're not going to change that. And people, if they don't agree with that, then you just need to leave. We're trying to do this the peaceful way. We're trying to do that. We're not out on a witch hunt, and we don't need people with that's loose cannons or on some kind of an ego trip or something. We need to do this the right way. We need to do this humbly. We need to be making friends along the way. These people need to understand that when we come in, we don't care about their past sins. We have one focus, and that is to save the Republic. And if we make war before we have that opportunity, we're not going to save it. And if people think that they're going to come around some other way to climb in through some window to get into this process, they're fooling themselves, and they're only hurting our movement. Now, it's up to the people on the grassroots. It's up to them to become educated in the process. It's up to them to be coming to these meetings. It's up to them and the leaders of those groups to making sure that the people understand what that process is. You need to be able to have the discernment to see that someone is taking you down the wrong road, that they're running you astray, that they're doing it differently than what we are teaching here. And again, I'm telling you, we have looked to see what people have been doing over the last 20 years trying to do this, and they all have failed, every one of them. And we know why. And we tell you why. Anybody who's been coming to these meetings and going through the processes and the teachings, you'll see why. And we explain why, and we mention it from time to time, exactly where their errors are. So it's up to the people in each of the counties to recognize those who are on an ego trip and either, you know, reel them in or ask them to leave. When you see someone that's really going against what we are teaching here, they're infiltrators. We do have infiltrators amongst us. I already know that. We've already gotten rid of one person, and we may have to do two. And it is what it is, you know. Look, the enemy is going to stoop to anything to cause problems for us, to stop us. There's a lot of poison out there. And when I say poison, I very specifically mean, you know, you take knowledge and you mix it in with BS, and then you can't get it right, and you can't figure it out, and you can't accomplish your goal. We are very, very specific and very, very careful about what we are doing. Even the names that you call yourself, we tell you to call yourself administrators. No one's a jurist here. You're administrators for the grand jury, sent out to investigate. You can call yourself a board of review sent out by the grand jury if you want. We've used that phrase once already. But you can't identify yourself as a jurist, and you're always going back to talk to the grand jury. You're bringing your information back to the grand jury. You may be sitting on that grand jury, and that's none of their business to know, but you don't have to identify yourself as such. It's not wise. We also must. This is a totally imperative. This is a psychological reason. It was a strategic reason that we called ourselves the Common Law Grand Jury. We did not call ourselves the People's Grand Jury. We did not call ourselves the Citizens Grand Jury. We did not call ourselves the Grand Jury. We called ourselves the Common Law Grand Jury. And we did that for a reason. First of all, they immediately, you know, all of these people, remember, they're all lawyers. They're taught in the bar schools. So all the judges and all the lawyers, they got the same mentality. And they're true believers in the lie that they've been taught. And so the moment that they hear common law, they can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves. They got to come out to tell you that there is no such thing as common law. That's been done away with a long time ago. And in that process, they get a dialogue. And in that dialogue, they recognize us in their writing as the Common Law Grand Jury. And therefore, there can be no mistake about it at some point later for them when they realize that there's nothing, they've already acknowledged us for what we are, and we are not the corporate grand jury. We are not the puppet grand jury. And so we've separated ourselves from their fiction, and they helped do it for us. This was a psychological approach for this purpose, and people need to understand that whenever you identify your grand jury, it's a common law grand jury. We have one group of people, and I don't know, they may have changed things, and I'm going to be making some phone calls tomorrow, and I think it affects the entire state, and I'm really not sure. But I know that they created a unified grand jury without creating the county grand juries. That's like putting the cart before the horse. How can you unify the grand juries if there are no grand juries to unify? You have to first create the county grand juries before you create the unified grand jury. And the unified grand jury, its only purpose is to springboard us into power and also to work together on certain issues statewide, maybe to bring our state Congress back on track, or maybe the state governor. But generally speaking, we're not acting normally as a unified grand jury. We're acting as the common law grand jury within our counties. And that's what we're doing. And before you can create a unified grand jury, there has to be grand juries to unify. Now, the reason I mentioned this before, I'll just briefly mention it again. The reason why we use the statement unified grand jury is because in our communications with these people, we saw that they called themselves the unified New York Supreme Court. Okay? Which makes all the sense in the world. There's only one. But all the counties are unified. There's courthouses in every county, so they're one. So that's why we called ourselves a unified common law grand jury, because we are unified. But we are one, but we are broken up in each of our counties. So for that purpose, we use that name. And again, we're only really using that in order to springboard ourselves to work together collectively to show the fact that we got numbers and that we're spread geographically across the entire state, that you can find us in every county. This isn't just a couple of people, you know, over here or over there. This is the whole state. This is the people. And they have no clue on how many people we have in each one of these counties. Let's see. So, again, we got to be careful also. Just want to mention one more time about subverters. We're going to get subverters amongst us. You know, again, pray for wisdom on this and watch what people are doing and saying. And if it's not consistent with what we're teaching, you know, if you agree with them, then both of you or all of you have to leave. Because it's not what we're teaching, and we want to succeed at what we're doing. We don't want to be marked as some, crazy group or something, or some terrorist group, because they love to put those labels on the Tea Party people and everyone else, and surely they're going to try to put it on us. Coordinator's job, just to go quickly through that, okay? The key job to the coordinator is very simple. It is for them to organize their state. It is for them to make a call to all of the existing county organizers and make sure that they're active communicate with them from time to time, maybe hold a weekly meeting to discuss strategies, and everyone is working really on two things. They're working on learning the process, learning common law, and organizing. This is a time for learning and organizing. That's what we should be doing now. And by the time we finish organizing, we will know enough to be able to do what we have to do then. Also, we will find that certain people will emerge in each state with certain knowledge and certain abilities to be able to really take the bull by the horn, so to speak, in your state and do something, you know, to lead us. We need people that are able to write the letters and write, the bills, and to be able to communicate on behalf of the whole, maybe with the Senate, and teach others how to talk to, you know, people like the judges or the prosecutors. We need people that will emerge and not be intimidated by these people. And, you know, for those who have never done this before, you know, they have to experience it by learning it. You know, there's an old saying, you know, watch one, do one, teach one. And I think this is no different. You know, we go in to talk to judges. People need to come with us and watch how we talk to judges. At some point, when they feel comfortable, they take the lead. They talk to judges. They've done one. We'll be with them. And then after that, they'll teach one. So this is the same way we need to do it here. And we're all on the job training. You know, I think some people, you know, feel maybe they're not competent or able to be a state coordinator. And they feel that they're not qualified. And the short answer to that is none of us are qualified. We're all doing on-the-job training, every single one of us. And it's okay to make a mistake. The key thing is recognizing the mistake and fixing it. That's all. That's how you learn. If anybody thinks they're going to get out there and do anything without making any errors, well, then they haven't learned any lessons in life, because that's how you learn, trial and miss, you make it or you don't. Trial and error. Okay. We're going to do is, let me see if Paul is on the line. I'm looking for Paul. Let me see what his phone number is. Paul's working with me here in New York, and he's organizing the state with Oliver. We've got two people particularly, and they've already brought in a lot of other people that also are working in organizing the state. Let's see, 202 number. Gerard, are you here anyways? I'm looking for Paul's phone number here so I can put him on the line and let him talk. He can explain some of the strategies we're working on. Paul, if you're calling in on some other number other than your 202 number, I wouldn't know that, so you need to call me. Let me just take a guess here on a number. And if this isn't Paul... this Paul? Hey, Paul.
Yeah. See,
is that you?
You can recognize me even when I'm incognito.
There you go. Okay, you trying to call me on the other line, too?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going
to
cut that one. I'm going to decline that, so we're still good, right?
Yep.
Okay.
You got it, man.
All right, well, anyway, Paul came up with some good ideas, and we sat down and we talked about things and worked out a strategy here in New York. And, Paul, you want to maybe just try to give people an overview? I did not get a map of the New York State up onto the, up onto the website, for an example. But, you know, maybe we can sort of describe what we're doing. So go right ahead.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have it split up into four. I mean, we did most of the southern, so we had the three other sections left. And, you know, I have connections out in the western part of the state, so it just makes sense to do that. And we just coordinated.
Well, before you go any further, let me just make the point of what you just said. When Paul said we did the four, we did one of the four. We broke the state up into four parts. We did the southeast part of the state, the northeast part of the state, central part of the state, and the western part of the state. In the southeast part of the state is everything south of Albany, for anybody who knows the geography of New York, and it's all the way down through the city. Now we're working on the other three sections. So again, we broke it up into three sections that we haven't completed yet. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, and then we just coordinated. I mean, Ollie decided to take one section. It just made sense for me to take Western New York because I have a lot of contacts. I sent out an email to over 100 people last night. So we'll see what kind of response I get back. I'm going to start calling people tomorrow. And then, the Central, we figured just, once we get one wrapped up with scheduled and so we're already working on Central too. So, but what I did was, I didn't really pick an area until I found people that were willing to work and do something. So, I just started calling around and found people in Ontario. It was like, boom, okay, I got one. I got a pin in that county. And, all right, how can we coordinate around this? And then just making other calls, and I was looking at the map. I said, all right, now we want to be, like, somewhere in the middle of the other ones. And then I just chose two counties. I found Mark and Erie. And I wanted to be one county over. So I had him start looking for a place there and then connected with Dave. And then Dave found a place. So, you find people that are willing. You just kind of make the calls. Everybody looks at the telephone and, I call it the 10-ton telephone. That's, you look at it before you start calling and you're like, you start to get mesmerized by it. And like, all right, I got to pick that thing up and start making calls. You just got to pick it up and start making the calls. Don't think about it. And then, as you start talking to people, it's not a big deal. And you go through the list and then follow up with people. I had two people call me back the first day. I made five calls, and I didn't get anybody. But they called me back within like an hour. So I think that was Doug and maybe Mark or somebody else. But I talked to so many people since then. And so I was able to kind of like strategize. And then once we got two locations set down, now it's just making calls. And so that's good. We got two locations nailed down within a week. And and we found a couple of key people. I mean, we got, there's some recognition here to Mark and Dave, Mark and Erie, and Dave and Niagara. And Dave apparently got his county going. He was the driver there. So Niagara and Monroe are already done. And so, Donna, David, Eric, and Steven, from what I understand, and I think Angela may have participated in Monroe counties, are still trying to get a hold of, we did find out who has the paperwork, so that's good. And I just want to, give those guys a round of applause. I mean, they went out and did this on their own without our help, and that's okay. We did it without anybody's help the first time, too. We just figured it out. And we didn't know. It was like, okay, let's try this. We were doing stuff. You make mistakes, and you're like, all right, that don't work. And we were posting notices in the town halls, and you get into a beef with the clerk, and then all of a sudden, the county, the town attorney's involved. He's making calls and calling all the other towns. So it was like, all right, we're not doing that next time. And, we just put ads in the paper, and you just want to get people to show up. You want to advertise, but you got to work with the willing. And you got to realize the vision of what we're doing here is if it's not this, what else is there? There is no other option. So it's not like, well, I don't know if it's going to work. Well, doing nothing is certainly not going to work. I'll go down swinging. That's my attitude. I'm going down swinging. And, I don't like the way things are going. And, I think we've all been beat up by the justice system and, what's going on there. And they're not all bad, But, hey, you know, it's when the other ones look the other way on the bones that are bad, they're just as liable. It's, we got to hold each other accountable. What is that, Ezekiel? We are our brother's keeper. And so, you know, when you see somebody that's not doing the right thing, you got to, you know, iron sharpens iron. That's, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And, you know, then their blood's not on your hands. If they don't listen, then it's up to them. But there is, I mean, there's nothing else. There isn't. This is it. Politics and starting another party, and man, that's going to take 20 years to put together a party.
It wouldn't work anyway. It just gets involved with what they're doing.
Right. They'll infiltrate, and then they'll put their own people in, and we'll have the same thing again. Here, we're holding them accountable.
That's right.
You know,
it's not about politics. It's about justice, what we're doing. Go ahead.
Right. And doing the right thing. And, you know, we're coming into a day and age where you can't hide in the dark anymore. You can't live a dual life. And that's what's happening. There's so much agitation. The room is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And
right.
These people are realizing that, oh, my gosh, what's going on? They're troubled in the sight of the world because they know it. Their days are numbered. You can't – a lot of these people – that, you know, they're 70, 80 years old. This technology wasn't around for 60, 70 years of their life. And now they're not used to that. They're not used to having cameras and videos in their face and, you know, people recording calls. And that's the way it's going to be. I mean, you can't hide in the dark anymore. You can't lead a dual life. And they created it, and now they created their own demise. But that's the way it is. We're coming into an age where you're not going to be able to get away with stuff. And so they're living through those changes. And there's an agitation involved. And unfortunately, they're going to take it out on us. They see us as the enemy. But that's okay. It's, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers of darkness in high places. And we just keep moving on. And we got to be happy. You got to have a song in your heart, a dance in your step, and a gun on the table. That's the way it's got to be. But, you know, you can't worry about it. And, you know, all the doom and the gloom and the TV, turn the darn thing off. You know, say some prayers and, you know, get in the Word and get excited. Because changes are coming and they're not all bad. Change is not always bad. You just have to adapt to the change. If you adapt to the change, you can create the change. You can be proactive. You can be the one that decides and which way it goes instead of fighting the change. Be the driver. When you drive the change, you are the change. You're having an influence on it. Well, that's part of being in the game and not being in the stands. It's just... When you're in the game, man, it's you influence things. And so get in the game and be an influencer, be a driver. You dictate where things are going when you're driving.
All right, thanks, Paul. And let me add on to some of the things that we're doing with in your plans that you didn't pick up on, but let me kind of expound a little bit on it. One of the other things we're doing, and we're trying to find counties. Like, we've broken each section up into about 16 counties, roughly speaking. And so if we can find 2, 3, or even 4 locations that we can go and give that is geographically set in such a way that, you know, maybe we find a corner in a county that is works with 3 or maybe even 4 counties. Sometimes you'll see 3 counties with a corner, and it may be only 10 miles to another county because the other corner is very close. So if you try to kind of set up shop, so to speak, get the election process right next to the border of more than one county, you can then try to work 3 to 4 counties at a meeting. And what we're doing is we've got 3 Saturdays set up at this point. We're going to be working on a 4th where there'll be a team of us somewhere between probably 4 to 8 people, maybe at least 6, I'm sure, but 4 to 8 people are going to be traveling, you know, sort of to go to these places. And we're going the furthest place away, you know, which is almost a 6-hour drive for many of us, all the way to the other end of the state. And we're going to go up there on a Saturday. We'll probably have to leave at 4 in the morning, but we'll get there. And the first election process for constituting a common law grand jury with 2, 3, or 4 counties will be at 10 a.m. in the morning. Then we set another one up. I'm not sure what, I think he set the next one up out that way at 2. And so we'll travel a little bit more, and at 2 o'clock we'll have another election. And again, we're looking, you know, 2, 3, 4 counties at one shot. And we're looking for a third area where we'll be able to travel to and maybe get there at 7 o'clock. And we'll do another 3 or 4 counties. So if we do an average, let's say 3-plus counties in 3 locations right there, that's 9. So let's say between 9 and 12 counties out of an area that we cut out 16 counties. So if we have 3 or 4 counties left over, then we're going to work with those people to do sort of a mop-up to finish off those counties one evening in a week. You know, a couple of counties that are close to this county, work with that county and get that county done, and so on. So while they're working on the mop-up in that section, the following Saturday we're going to the midsection. And again, the same plan, where we're looking to find anywhere from 2 to 4 locations. The ideal is four locations, as long as you can plan the distance. And you can go start to do one at 10 in the morning, one at 1 in the afternoon, one at 4 in the afternoon, and one at 7 in the evening. And in that process, if each one of them is doing 3 apiece, 4 times 3 is 12. And if there's 14 to 16 counties, you only got 2, 3, 4 counties to mop up. And again, we can leave those people to work with those counties to finish to mop them up. Same thing in the northern part of the country. We're doing the same thing, and that'll be the third week. And on the fourth week, we will travel to help finish up any other counties in New York that's not done. So with this plan, so to speak, we can get the entire New York State done before February ends. That would be strategic, it'd be huge, and it's extremely important for what we're doing here in New York. They're frightened now, and we only got 18 counties elected. And if we come in with all 62 counties elected, I'm sure they're going to be quite upset about that. And I think it's going to be much more powerful. Again, the more numbers and the people and the pressure of the people. And again, you know, the news is still ignoring us. That'll only go so long. Again, you know, we're going to be going nationwide soon on radio. So at some point, they're just not going to be able to help themselves. And they're going to have to come in. Even if it's bad press, it's press. And when you come and you find, when the press, I don't know how the press is going to turn it bad when you find 62 counties, 62 grand juries in 62 counties, where the people live in those counties working to try to bring common law back into their courts. I don't know how they can possibly argue with that. I don't know how they can make a case. Now, we've already heard pretty much everything they have to say. They don't have very much, and all they have is lies. And we're working with papers to neutralize those lies. But we do have a paper on our website. If you go out to the breaking news, for instance, okay, and right on the top, we do have a paper that says, "By what authority rebuttal?" And what we did is we took all of the negative things that they've said that we have found in newspapers or people making a claim on a radio program or things of that nature, and it really wasn't that many. They seem to repeat the same thing, and they're real dumb. They're dumb stuff. And you know they're liars and deceivers, because in order for some of these people to get the information that they claim to have, they really got to dig through our site. And they pass by everything. I mean, look at right on the front page. You know, let me just read this front page. I mean, this is so powerful. How did they miss this? How come they can't write about this, what Thomas Jefferson said? How come they can't write about what we talk about, that we're coming with a sense of honor, a sense of mercy, a sense of justice, that we're coming with the idea to bring us back to where our founders originally had us to start with? And Jefferson said, I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. How could they go against that? The people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. How did they miss that? That's the first paragraph, the first thing you see on our website. Instead, they come up with the lies that they come up with and all those things. And again, we rebutted them all, and we showed they offered no authority. And we rebutted them back with reams of authority. Thomas Jefferson said, educate and inform the whole masses of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. And one more time, he says, an enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. And, of course, the people who have seized power in our government has made it sure that we receive a defunct education. We receive an education that really is just brainwashing us to obey all of these dictators we have. Again, as Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And this is the purpose behind National Liberty Alliance. This is what we're doing. We've put together an education on our website. We went through this last week. I'm not going to go through it again. But we're given a classical education, the education that Thomas Jefferson spoke about. I promise you, anybody who can exhaust our website would have a complete, full, classical education by the time they come to the... We even have math out there. We have Euclid out there, the father of mathematics. So we have everything. We have history, American history. Of course, we got great literature. We got the Bible. So, again, this is what we're about. How is it that they missed that? Now, I have been working on and off on a paper. I'm going to try to keep it real short. And I'm trying to make it as people-friendly as possible. You know, people who haven't got any background in law, common law. It's hard to do, but, you know, because we do have to use the language of some court cases and different things. But it's understandable. It's simple. And so I'm trying to write something, maybe two or three pages. So whenever a newspaper or somebody writes a story that's negative, we can come back with this. And this will explain exactly what's going on, what the problem is, and why we, the people, need to take control of the courts. And as soon as that paper is available, you know, we'll post it up there, and people will be able to use that as a rebuttal to any news story. And you know what? If we have to, maybe we need to, if you go to the newspaper and you try to do a rebuttal and they won't print the rebuttal to what they wrote, well, maybe we should take a collection within that county and go and pay for a one-page ad and let it be known. They lied and they wouldn't allow a rebuttal, so we're paying for it, and here it is. And here's the truth. Here's what they're not telling you. You know, I mean, they really have to search our web, you know, our website, really, really spend a lot of time on it to find anything that they can really start to try to rip apart. And then they take guesses. They just take guesses. Oh, it's a bunch of 25 people, and they want to control everything. They want to control the whole world. They want to control the state. You know, that's what these people want to do. They have no clue that we're not the grand jury per se. We're just the administrators in order to impanel them, in order to train them, in order to enlighten them, to give them an understanding of the difference between fiction and common law and what the principles of common law are so that they can go in and make a good judgment. And that could be done through an orientation in one day between 4 to 8 hours. They orientate these people. They brainwash them. We're freeing them. We're not brainwashing them. We're freeing them. I got a copy of a paper, a questionnaire. It's from a federal. It got from someone here in New York, and it's a questionnaire that they put out when they bring you in to become a grand jurist, and you have to fill this out, and it's quite a few pages. And it is really a psychological research on the individual, really looking in. You could see the game they're playing. They ask questions. I have no clue. You know, why would they ask some of these questions? Whose business is it that they should even ask these questions? You know, I got to agree, there might be one or two questions that we want to make sure. You know, I'd want to know if, anybody comes in, you know, are they a bar member? You know, because we don't need those people, you know. There are probably a few questions we're going to want to ask, and we'll be straight out, and we'll tell them why, we wouldn't want them to sit on a jury. A bar member can't sit on a jury because they have an allegiance to the bar first, the court second, and their client third. And that's not just. You know, if someone's going to represent someone in the court, that person who hired them to represent them, that should be who they're representing first and foremost. To hell with the bar, to hell with the court. You're in there for that person to bring justice and make sure that that person gets justice. One other item we sent out as people, we've had a lot of people who responded, and we sent email out to all the people that are listed in our registry, and we asked everybody if they would help to keep National Liberty Alliance going. We've got a lot of bills, you know, since we've got the new website, and we're here on Blog Talk, and believe me, the bills are starting to mount up. Every day, our numbers are growing, and also our rank on the internet is growing phenomenally. We've got quite a few thousands of people involved with us. Not everybody is registered. We have a lot of people that are involved with us, and they just decided not to register, but they're for us and they're with us and they'll show up. In my county alone, I'm not sure how many people in my county that are really listed. I got to go take a look. We may have 10 or so, but literally we have probably 30 or 40 people that are behind us and supporting us, and we're willing to go anywhere we have to go. If they have to, we ask them, they'll go. So we have a lot of people that aren't necessarily signed up, and I'm sure that's the truth in all of the counties out there. But in order for us to keep going, there's no way of getting away without needing money. I just don't have it no more. I don't work anymore. I haven't worked in 2 years. And my funds are completely exhausted, done. And as I mentioned last week, I think I mentioned this, or we mentioned this definitely in a newsletter that we sent out to all the members, we had people who were going to back us, and they walked out in the last minute. I don't know why. I can only guess. I'm not going to guess. So that fell apart. And I'll tell you, we put out a notice that we can't pay the bills this month. We just can't, and you know, it's expensive. It gets, and every month it's going to get more and more expensive. And so people have come to help out, and we had about 75 people at this point, maybe 80, that have responded, and they've been generous, and we're going to get through this month, but we got to get through every month. And so we need some kind of an income. And so we asked if everyone can give 16 cents a day. 16 cents a day, that's all we need. If everyone that is registered on our site gives 16 cents a day, we'd have plenty of money. That's $5 a week. Everybody, now there are some people who really, you know, I years ago I ran into some problems, and I literally became homeless. I had young children at the time. I had an infant at the time, and my wife was ill, and it was just really everything at the same time, and I couldn't work, and we lost our home. And literally were homeless. And during that time period, you know, if I went out and got 20 bucks, it meant a lot to me. There's no way I could give someone a buck out of that. I needed it for my family. So I do know that we do have people amongst us that are going through some hard times. I know that for a fact. I know a couple of people that are homeless now, some people that may end up homeless, and they just can't do anything right now. So I appreciate that. And when they get back on their feet, I'm sure they'll step up to the plate and send in $5. But for everyone else, we throw away $5 a month easy. We throw away 16 cents a day without even thinking about it. We give Uncle Sam 16 cents every single day when we stop at the 7-Elevens or a Dunkin' Donuts and we buy a donut or a roll and a cup of coffee. And the tax on that is more, it's 24 cents if you're paying 8%. 8%. I know in New York it's 8%. So you spend 16 cents in tax alone to give Uncle Sam, to support Uncle Sam and what he's doing, and how's that working out for us? I'm sure you can afford to give 16 cents to us. You know, I don't like to ask for money. And a while back I did ask for money, and then I got some complaints. Oh, I knew you were all about money, and yeah, I should have known better. Yeah, this, that, and yeah. Well, you know what? If that's their attitude about us, goodbye. If they don't want to stay with us, fine. I'm not asking for money to make money. I'm asking for money to keep us going. And I'm asking for 16 cents. You know, someone told me what we're doing, we should be asking for a lot more, that we should be asking everybody for $50 a piece. And everybody throws away $50 to $100 a month, most people, well, a lot of people do. But we're not asking for that. I thought about that. It was suggested very strongly that that's what I should do. But I talked to a lot of people, and I realized there's a lot of people out there that you can't give any more than $5 or $10. And there's some people that can give $50. And for those who give $50, we'll make up for the people who don't give at all. But we need a monthly income. We need people to go out there and give us $5 a month. So everyone can do this. You know, you go to a pizza shop and you order a pizza and a slice, that's $3 right there. And if you're paying 8% tax, that's 24 cents. We're only asking for 16 cents, and you're giving Uncle Sam 24. And again, they're not doing anything for your money. They're not saving the Republic. They're destroying the Republic with your money. Tax on a bottle of soda is 12 cents. One cigarette, at least in New York, because a pack of cigarettes costs somewhere between $8 and $10 a pack, one cigarette is 40 cents. If you're a smoker, give up one cigarette. Just give up one cigarette. And just send us half of that. We only need 16 cents. We're not asking for any more. I mean, if you can give 32 cents, that's $10 a month, hey, that's great. Again, that'll make up for the person who's not going to give. Some people we can ask who are blue in the face, and I guess they're just not going to give. The tax on a cigar is more than 16 cents. Get this one. A stick of bubble gum, 5 sticks, goes for 89 cents and can go as much as $1.49. But 89 cents for 5 sticks of bubble gum, okay, that's 17 cents a stick. 17 cents a stick. And plus there's the tax. 2 candy bars, $2, 16 cents. That's all we're asking for. Now, I know I spent a lot of time, and I did it on purpose, because I tell you what, people have to hear that we need money, and people have to dig into their pockets and give us a lousy 16 cents a day. I've put thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into this over the last 4 years, and I've been out of work for 2 years, and I've spent all of my savings, every penny of my savings. I don't have that much left in my little box. I'm broke. I spent it here because I know that this had to be done. What difference does it make if I would have kept that money or kept working? I won't have it anyway in a year or 6 months because the nation's going down. It's not going to be here. It's gone. If the people don't save it, it's not going to be saved. It's done. So I say this over and over again. Only the people can save America. And it's going to require two things if you're with us to do it, because we're the only game in town, I'll tell you right now. I know there are a lot of other people trying different ways to do what we're doing, and they've had different strategies and ideas, and God bless them. And, you know, I got a conversation with an individual who's up online under questions and answers, and he's doing it a different way, and we're working together. But we're working together privately, and we're supporting each other. You know, he's just doing it a different way. And believe me, if we get through, we'll empower him. And if he gets through, he's going to empower us. I think some people are doing it in a very dangerous way, and God bless them. I hope they can do what they got to do. I know their hearts are right. I know what they're doing is right, but the government isn't going to see it that way. And they're walking a very dangerous ground because they could be called you know, subvert us. And so it's very dangerous. Okay? We're doing it the right way. We are all about the law. One thing they can't say, you know, we just turn over the papers and we show them, you know, the Supreme Court rulings and we show our founding fathers' words. That's what we're about. We have the potential of moving through this country very, very quickly. 3,000, let me tell you right now, there's no reason why we can't. We have, I'll bet you, and I haven't gone out there to count it out, but maybe I'm going to try to do that before next week to count out what we got. I'll bet you we have people in at least 800 counties, at bare minimum 800 counties. Now, if you go to our website and you look on our page on the right side, it'll tell you how many counties have been constituted. We have 3,142 counties in the entire country, in the entire nation. We have 62 counties that have been constituted. I happen to know we have more. Some of the state coordinators just haven't got up there and flipped the buttons yet. And if you don't know how to do it, give me a call and I'll help you go walk through it to flip the button so we can turn those counties on so people can see how many counties are really elected. Our plan in New York is 30 counties within the next 3 weeks or so. And we intend on finishing off the rest of the state before the end of next month. I mean, will we do it? We'll come darn close. I'll tell you that. We will come very close. We have a lot of people working on this now, and we're going to get it done. So now, I bet you we have 800 counties that we have people in. I want to tell you something. There is absolutely no reason, none. And when I open the phone lines, if anybody can give me a reason, then I'd like to hear it. But there is absolutely no reasons, none, why we can't have 800 elected, constituted, not elected, 800 constituted common law grand juries within the next 2 weeks. There's not one reason why we can't have it other than the fact that people aren't doing it. That's the only reason. If everyone was to pick up the phone tomorrow evening and find a place for the following week on where they can set up to have this meeting in order to bring together and constitute a common law grand jury. That's all you got to do. Pick up the phone, call up the library, call up the restaurant that has an extra room in back, Denny's or something. Call up the place where you go and meet for your tea parties. Ask if you can use that area and set it up for one evening at 7 o'clock. Download all the information. Find out how it's done. It's very simple. It takes you all of 35 minutes to watch the video, and you download all the paperwork, and you just fill in the blanks. And then you get the necessary papers notarized. You buy the stamp for $45, you know, the seal, and you seal it. And you don't have to file it, but you can constitute it. Constitute your grand jury in your county now. And then when you're ready and you're comfortable, then you can file it with the court and file it with the county. When you got 10 other counties all around you, and you're communicating, you're talking, you're learning, you're feeling more confident, you got some good leaders moving around, maybe you're the leader, and now you can file it. But you see, when you get a county out there and someone surfaces and you got a real strong leader and they're ready to go and you haven't got all these constituted counties and now you got to stop and work to go get all that work done when it could be done now. Now is the time for learning, organizing and constituting. This is the time, right now. When the person who starts to lead and starts to take the process by the bull, you know, the bull by the horns, and get this process going, okay, and turns around and he can see 20 constituted counties right with his or her county, that's power. That's power. That's what we have in New York. That's why they fear us, because we're not just one small little group. We represent all of New York City and all the counties north of New York City all the way up to Albany. We represent three-quarters of the population of New York. And Lord willing, before the end of the month, we're going to have the entire state. That's power. And we have two counties that have not filed their papers yet, but they're listed with us as part of the group. They've constituted. They just haven't filed it yet. Why? Because they're just not comfortable yet. I get it. I understand that. You know, they're a little bit more distant from us, and they're kind of loners in the rest of, you know, in the state, and they need the counties around them. And when we get these counties elected in the next 3 weeks, they're going to be empowered. they're going to feel good. They're going to go file. They're going to go 10, 20 counties. Let's go file, and we're going to file them together. And they're going to join their name to the unified grand jury that we got going here in New York, and that is power. That's what they fear, and that's how we're going to win. So that's what we need to do. We got to get going. There's no reason, absolutely no reason why within the next 2 weeks we cannot have 600 constituted grand juries throughout the entire nation. So let's get going. Get on the phones. Talk with your fellow organizers. And the state organizers needs to get we need a state organizer, because there's double the amount of people already on. You can see the numbers on your page, you know, X amount of people that are in the group, but then you look down and you don't see them all listed. And you don't have phone numbers for them. Well, why? Because they decided they didn't want their phone name and number on the front on that page. And that's fine. But they're working with us. They're helping. And if you gave them a call, they'll come to the meetings. They'll do tasks for you. They'll make phone calls. They'll work with you. They're doing it here in New York. And by the way, we do have someone up. I don't know how they got through the system without a phone number, and they've checked off as a county organizer. They need to remove themselves from a county organizer if they're not going to put a phone number up there, and or put a phone number in there, one or the other, and then stay there. But if they're afraid to have their phone number on, how can people get you anyway? So why have your name up there? So they need to remove themselves. And when I go back through the list and start looking at things again, if I see people without phone numbers, I'll just remove them as county organizers. And people can do that any time they want. They can return themselves as a county organizer, but you have to have a phone number. You know, people say, well, why don't you use an email? Trust me, you don't want us to use the email. If you put your email up on the website, they have these crawlers that come around the websites and they capture the emails. And you think you get a lot of junk mail now? Wait till they get a hold of you. I used to have emails for that purpose, and forget about it. So much junk. But anyway, just a real quick thing so people know. Anybody that wants you to sign in, up on the top where the login area is along that line, you'll see my account. And if you click on my account, okay, it'll open a page which has all your contact information. And if you click on edit, okay, you'll have two pages to go through. One is your account information. You've got your username, your password, and your email address. Then the next page you shift over to on the top right side, you'll see contact information. You click on that, and it has your name, your phone number again, your mailing address, and your county. And then it has a checkbox. That checkbox says county organizer. So if you're a county organizer and you decide you don't want to be one anymore, all you do is move that check box and come down to the bottom and click save. Don't forget to click save, otherwise it's not going to be saved. If you are a county organizer and you want to become one, you go and you put a check mark in that box and you click save. And then your name will appear on the county coordinators list we have on our website, and people then will be able to call you. And it's important that we have the phone numbers, because that's how people get... What's the purpose of your name if there's no phone number? Nobody can call you. You're not doing anything. And if everybody did that, nobody would be talking to nobody. So the whole thing is about communications. That's what this website is about, for people to find people, to communicate with each other, to organize, to encourage, to learn together. And again, the site is set up to educate. And so that's what we need. We need people to become educated. All right, let me look at my list if there's anything else I want to bring up before we open up the phone lines. I just want to remind you, you know, we're not here to dictate to anyone. We're just here to teach. But if you learn a lie, it's not going to help you. And there's a lot of poison out there. Poison's lies. We are very careful in our research. You've got to do, look, you can't change the way it's done. There's a judicial process, and it's not going to change for you because you want to do it a different way. No, this is the way it's done. Okay? We're constituting grand juries, and we're just doing the honorable thing. We're taking it to the people in every county. We're opening it up to the public. We're notifying people. And we're coming in to take a vote on it. It's been unanimous. Every time they sit down and watch the 28 minutes of videos, there's three short videos, there's 28 minutes altogether, and they take a vote at the end, it's almost always unanimous. Once in a while, you get an infiltrator, creates trouble, and they vote no, and they try to convince everybody else. But, hey, forget about them, you know? But, all right, I guess that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. Next week, hopefully, we'll be able to give a better update on New York. I believe by next week, we will have filed the papers. And I think if we don't do it before the end of this week, today's Monday, so we got four more days. If we don't go down to see the sheriff to have the arrest taken place by the end of this week, I think we'll be doing it Monday. And so I think by next weekend we'll have good news for you on where we're going with that. And a very interesting story, once we do that, it's a very interesting story on how we're doing this and why. And it's, you know, we don't want to talk about it until after we do it. It's just wise to do that. And we've got a lot more moves to do and a lot more pressure to put on. And meanwhile, we are organizing our state. Meanwhile, very soon, they're going to see 62 common law grand juries. And then they're going to worry. Let's take our first caller, I guess. By the way, Gerard, have you ever made it on? Are you here? Where are you, Gerard? 760-447-760. I know Roger's here, but I don't know his number. So I don't know. I can't uncheck his mic. 760, you got the mic, 447.
Hi, John. I want to say that Howard in North Carolina runs a real good call, like you run a real good call for a meetup. His is on Sunday. Yours is on Monday. Carla, I think, in California, I'm Joe Kelly, the state coordinator. And she's blazing a trail. She's a fire starter, real good. She doesn't report much. She just goes out and does things. And I also want to say that it's real important because on my call with Howard in North Carolina, there was a guy on that was, he said his name was John, and he keeps getting asked for a definition of common law. And I'm going to run this by you, and then I'll get off here of your time. Peaceful defense of the innocent from injury. That's common law.
Well, that's a pretty nice way to put it. I could put it in one word. Common law is justice. The word justice is synonymous with virtue. It's godliness. And that's what we need in our courts, justice, godliness. We are people dealing with people, human beings dealing with human beings. We're not there to punish them. We're not there to beat them up. We're there to correct them because the people have to correct the people. You know, this is what God gave us. You know, common law is natural law. They use the phrase common law because it's a law common to all men. Whether they obey it or not is another thing, but it's common to all men. That's why they call it common law. But ultimately it's natural law, natural law is seeking out ultimately the mind of God and not the mind of man. They're looking for godliness, and they want the rule of God, ultimately what they want. God is merciful. God is just. Okay, and God is honorable, and that's what we have to emanate. And, you know, it's not about putting people in jail. You know, it seems that's what all the state is about. They want to make criminals out of everybody and put everybody in jail, it seems. You know, I heard some alarming statistics, and I don't know if they're true, but 56% of the people have been arrested on a felony, but by the time they're, I think it's 28 or 32 or something like that, 56%. What the heck is going on here? And you know, if you're a felon, you can't get a weapon. And maybe that's what's behind all this. They want to make everyone a felon, so then they don't have to worry about the gun laws. Nobody can get one because you're all felons. You know. So well, I don't know whatever's going on there. But look, Common law is not about putting people in jail. Common law is about fixing the person who's been injured. And it's the job of the person who injured that person to fix that person. And that's what they got to do. And in the process of that person fixing the other person, they might find humanity. They might become a good person in society. Who knows? Maybe they might say their soul might be saved. But we can return these people back to society. We can't shun them. You don't put everyone in jail. Look, violent people and judges, they belong in jail. Other than that, you know, we really got to think about who we're going to be putting in jail. Someone stole $2,000 off of you, and you catch them, we're going to fix them. We'll get a contract. They'll make a deal, probably. And if not, then the trial jury will make a deal. But let me tell you something. They're going to pay restitution. They got to pay you back fourfold. They robbed $2,000 off of you. They got to pay you back $8,000. Okay? And that's the biblical principle. Okay? 3 to 4 times. Now, the other thing is maybe you've been injured psychologically. Maybe now you're nervous to walk down a certain street or something. That's a damage, too. How are we going to fix that, you know? Well, that's what we have to pray for wisdom and figure out in that room that we get together, the 25 people. That's their job to try to figure that out. And if they can't fix it and make a deal, then it's going to become the decision of the 12. They're all alone. They're not going to get no opinions from you or me or anyone else. They're going to go in there with the tools that they have been given. And the tools that they have been given is not the law of men, and it's not the telling them that, hey, this is the law, you got to do this. No. They make their own decision, and they got to figure it out. And the tools that they need is to understand that they need a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And when you make your decision with that in mind, I promise you, no matter what your decision is as a group, you're going to sleep well that night. But anyway, justice is my definition, synonymous with virtue, which is godliness. Anything else?
Yeah, there's a lot, John, but my guess is you have a lot other callers, so I'll step aside.
Okay, well, if I get down through the rest of them, I'll come back up and start on the topic and get you next again. Just stay in there. Okay?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Next caller, 248-393. 248, you should be hearing your phone's been unmuted.
Well, the pictures of some of the women they have on here are not drop-dead gorgeous women.
248 with the drop-dead gorgeous, you're online, 393.
Look at this man. This is all the protest.
Okay, I guess we'll just silence that one down. 201, New Jersey, 240. 201, 240.
Oh. Yes, John, this is Jason Berg from New Jersey.
How you doing,
New Jersey?
Jason? Good to talk to you.
Great, fantastic. I love your story. We really need to be working harder and doing it, and we have a lot of people that say they want to be coordinators, and they are not coordinators, and it's frustrating. I've contacted everyone that I could, and to follow up, I sent out emails to everyone I could. Again, it is frustrating when people say they're going to do something, and they're not. You going?
Well, let me just say something a little quick about that idea, that thought. Because I've been doing this for a long time. I've been involved with different groups over the past 20 years or so, doing many different things, trying to get people active in something here or there. And I discovered, a phone call is what works, person to person. Forget the tweet, forget the email, forget anything else. It's a personal thing. And you get on the phone and you say, hey, I see that you're up there for county organizer and we really need some help. We're going to be doing A, B, and C in the next week or so, and we really could use you to make a few phone calls, or we can really use you to come down to a meeting and meet with us, or, you know, we got an election set up and we really need you to come on down, and will you be able to do that on Tuesday at 7 o'clock and we're going down to pizza time or whatever the thing may be? And once they commit, before you let them off the phone, say, okay, hey, I really appreciate that, and I'm counting on you. I am really counting on you. And I'm going to follow up with you tomorrow. And whatever it is, if they're going to make phone calls and the next day you follow up, hey, did you get a hold of Joe and Frank and are they ready? Oh, you know, I forgot. You know, I'm so sorry. I forgot all about it. Okay, look, see if you could do it tomorrow afternoon and we'll talk later. Oh, okay, fine. You call the second time. And if they forget again, I think by the third time they feel bad enough they're going to do it because it's just the nature of people. Everybody wants to do this and they want to do the right thing. But then they become a little lazy, they become a lump on a log, they become forgetful, they become this, they got other things coming up, and all these things that happen in life. But you know what? Once you move them through the week and you get them to do one, two, or three tasks, all of a sudden now they got these new habits happening, and they're good habits. It's working to do what we got to do. Next thing you know, you're getting a phone call back from the person. You see, you got to wake them up, you got to get the lumps on the log moving, and it's all done with the telephone. That's what it's done with. And I'll tell you what, that's how we organized the southern part of New York. I was on the phone. Others were on the phone, pumping that phone and making nothing. I'm counting on you. I'm heading down. One other thing. When there's a group of people really working hard, I'm going to pause you a second. I'm getting feedback from you, Jason. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll get back to you in a second. Look, when you get a small group of people working together to travel to get these elections done, remember, you only need three people to get an election done. You need at least one person in that county. That doesn't mean you're just shooting for one person. No. You want to shoot for as many people as you can. You want to get 20, 30 people to that meeting. You want to call up. Everybody's got family. You know, they got children, or they got parents, or they got brothers, or they got sisters. They got nephews, they got nieces, they got next-door neighbors, they got friends, they got coworkers, everybody has people. Everybody can find two people and get them and say, hey, this is important to me. Will you really come down and just listen in and just take a vote? You know, it's really important to me. I really can use your help, and I need two witnesses. And I'd like you people to be my witnesses. Even if you decide not to get involved, that's okay. Even if you just think this is a good idea and you just want to bear witness to the fact that this took place, that's all you're doing. You're saying I was there, it happened, and that's it. So you get two people, and then you invite as many people as you can. And if only the two people that you know would show up showed up, well, you go through the process and you're elected. We don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. So it's that simple. We have at least, we're going to have half a dozen people traveling. And so we'll have, even if we end up with a county that just brings one person in, we still got six people plus one, that's seven, and we're in the state. So we can vote in that county. And we can sign as witnesses and participate. But everyone can get someone. Just get on the phone, and when they commit to come, say, I'm counting on you. I'll give you a follow-up call, a reminder call, a couple hours before the event. And that's it. Hi, Jason. You're unmuted again. Jason?
Yes, hello. I'm sorry. I muted myself, too. Yes,
oh, okay.
I am doing that. I did send out a letter. What you say, I follow the course, and it is frustration. 1 in 10 will say yes, and I use a little acronym, the letter U, letter B, letter are the one like that. But again, it is a love that I've been wanting to do for a long time. Excuse me.
Right.
And I'm sorry. I apologize. I had to move out of the room I was in. But again, it's a pleasure to be doing this. And if anyone thinks this is hard, the easiest thing to do is getting the meeting together, and I really agree with you. We should be doing this so super fast that our enemies' heads will spin off, and they'll be going, "Why? What happened?" And I do tell a story. We're developing I know North Carolina is developing an educational program. We're developing a slide presentation too, and what I'm going to do is my associate Phil. It has developed, and I'll email it on to you. You can take a look at it. If anyone's out there trying to develop educational programs, if we could coordinate our intelligence for the mastermind, we are greater together than we are separate. And we have so much to offer and so much to lose if we don't take charge of what is ours. Thank you.
Oh, amen. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. And, oh, by the way, just before you turn me off,
yeah.
I did send something out to Gerard for ways for us to make money for ourselves and keep make ourselves healthy and wealthy. At another time, I'd like to be able to speak to you about that because, again, it's a little that we can do. We can do more for ourselves and our brothers as a gift that we have that will win ourselves. And again, I'm not here to sell anything. I'm here to build and make our the greatest institution, the Republic, the greatest star, again, that was been raped since 1871, since the 14th Amendment was instituted de facto. And we have been robbed of our sovereignty, and we've been taxed and beaten by their rhetoric. And we are we have a false god, which is called government. And we need to have a new God, back our old God, which is the Republic, free from the democratic form. And in our state of mind, we can do anything if we believe we can. And at the closing off, I have a mantra. I will conquer the world firing a single shot, no firing a single missile. This will be achieved through social capital principles, the grassroots democracy, and Nu Skin business model. This will be achieved. We all believe that we are one with God, and we are all the same. Thank you.
All right, thanks for sharing that, Jason.
All right, you're welcome. I'll talk to you at another time.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to go to the next call in a minute. I was just looking at my notes, and I saw there was one other item I wanted to bring up here. You know, we got almost a couple of thousand people as registered on our website, and we've got thousands of people more. My contact list is about 4,500, so we have at least that. And I know there's a lot more than that that are in the background, that are working and teetering on joining. Some people are frightened to join, and this is not a time of fear. The time of fear isn't here yet. The time of fear is when the Nazis come marching down the street and start pulling you out of your house. That's the time of fear. We're heading towards that. But we're trying to cut that off. So now is the time to step up and do. But in any event, we have almost a couple thousand people registered right now. But when you go out to our meetup, we have a national meetup site, and you can get to it by clicking the link on the right side of our website. Just go out there and click on National Liberty Alliance Meetup, okay? And we have a good calendar out there, and it also has it sends out reminders for this meeting and other events that we have, across the country, across the nation, and of course, in our own states. So whenever there's an event going on for an election in your state and in your county, if you send me an email of that information, then I will we will post that, and anybody that's within your state in that county or counties nearby, they can respond if you didn't get to them and come to that event. But anyway, on that website, we have 488 members, okay? We need to raise those numbers. Everybody that hasn't joined on that, they should go over to that site and join up, sign up. And that'll help build our ranks because, you see, if we have a meetup with a couple of thousand people, all of a sudden numbers bring more numbers. We'll get more notoriety and people will be joining us and getting involved. So just by joining, and you don't even have to participate out there. You can set yourself up on, whatever. We do have conversations, email conversations that take place, and we try to keep them educational. Once in a while it gets out of order, and we fix it. But, it's not a lot of email, but it is some. And but you can go into that meetup, and you can click on a button and set up your email so that you only get one email a day. So if there are 10, emails that went back and forth, you'll get it in chronological order in one email, and you'll be able to read right through it. If you don't have time to read through it, well, fine. But you'll also get the reminders for tonight's meeting and any other event that's coming up. If we're doing an event, let's say eventually we're going to have a national meeting somewhere. I don't know where, someplace, I'm not sure where, but I'm sure we're going to have one, hopefully this year. And that, of course, would be up there, and we put the information on the calendar. But we're going to have special meetings in New York State, in at least two different locations, maybe three. We're going to do some kind of a seminar and teaching people things. And other states may want to do the same thing. And that will be posted on our calendars, and people in New York will you'll be able to hear about that and come to that event. And people in your state, if it's your event, and hear and come to that event. Maybe some people in Connecticut and Jersey might want to join with us in New York and come to our events. That's fine. You know, what we teach, it can be used in any state. We're all Americans. We're all the same. It's the same process, same judicial process. So anyway, by signing up on that website, which is meetup.com/National Liberty Alliance, again, a link is on our right side of our website. On every page, you'll see meetup, the National Liberty Alliance. Click on that and sign up. Join the meetup. And again, that'll help getting more people here. There. The other thing is we've got great rankings going on. But we, of course, we're always looking to get it better. The more ranking you have on the Elixir ratings, the more traffic you get to it. Okay? So the higher your rankings, you know, the better your rankings, the more people come. But we have pretty good rankings, and we can get better. If those people who are coming to our site, set our website as your home on your website. You know, when you open your browser, you'll come to, whatever your home page is. Okay, a lot of people have just set it Google or something, you know, whatever it is. Set National Liberty Alliance. Go up to the options on your browser. On Mozilla Fox, you click on Tools, you click on Options, and when the option box opens, right there, home page, you put the home page, which is open to National Liberty Alliance right now, so it says, it gives that as the option of home page, and then you click on Use Current Page as your home page, and voila. So every time you turn on your browser, our home page will show up. It'll remind you that you need to spend some time on the website today and learn something, listen to a video, an audio, watch a video, read a paper, do something, and then move on to whatever thing else you're going to do on the Internet. But, you know, spend some time. But set us up, and it's a good reminder, and also it'll help pick up our ratings. So those are two things people can do. And, again, the better our ratings, the more people are drawn. Okay, that's key. All right, with that, let's go to the next caller. Let's see. Okay, 815-844. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted.
Hi,
815. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, this is Sharon Hansen.
How you doing, Sharon?
Pontiac, Illinois. I'm doing good. What I wanted to find out is, have any of the grand juries that have been formed, are any of them actually doing what our end goal is by, working to, like a grand jury is supposed to be working, like doing indictments and taking the information and going to court with the people?
Right. Yeah, we
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we're in our infancy. We only started about 10 months ago. We've got quite a few organized states. States are organized, pretty good, a lot of them. And people are working towards the constituting the grand juries within their counties. And in New York, we've got 18, and we've done 4 indictments. At one time, we indicted 4 judges for conspiracy to keep us out of the courts. And we just decided to indict another judge and a clerk, and those two we can have arrested. The other 4 have not been arrested yet because the sheriff can't understand this. You know, the sheriff is as dumb as we are. They're as dumb as a box of rocks, and they don't know what the Constitution is. So if we went to the sheriff and say, hey, look, you know, we know the normal process is for the judge to put the order out, but that's the problem. The judge is the criminal. So here's the crime he made. Here is the paperwork. Here is the indictment. Here are the charges. Can you go arrest him? And the first thing he's going to do is he's going to call the county attorney, and you know what he's going to do. Okay, these people are a bunch of crackpots, you know. So, if we're going to talk with the sheriff and expect to get any real respect out of him from what our positions are, then we're going to have to be sitting in that courthouse. And when we sit in that courthouse, and he comes down to meet with us because we gave him a call, we'd like to talk with him, And so he comes down to the courthouse and he walks into the grand jury room, and then we talk to him. Well, guess what? We have authority. He knows exactly who we are, and he's going to respect us, and we're going to let him know what the law is, and he's going to listen. It's going to be quite different than what he understands it to be. You know, we're going to tell him things like, you know, don't be arresting people just because they have a weapon. They have unless they're taking that weapon out to, you know, threaten somebody. You don't have a right to do anything. Just because you found a weapon maybe in someone's side and it happens to be exposed because their jacket comes down and they don't have a permit, that's none of your business. You leave that person alone. Because if you bring that person in, it's common law now. You know, he has a Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment is now enforced. Okay? And so if you tried to arrest him, you just kidnapped him. And then you and I have a problem. So, you know, we have to talk with him very politely and nicely, and we got to give him reading materials. We wrote a book for them. It's called The Jurist Book. It's about 40-some-odd pages. We're going to be getting the pocket-sized books, hopefully, eventually. But you can download it right now up on our Jurist Documents page. But there'll be a booklet. They can read through it. We can meet with the sheriff at least once a week, maybe twice a week for coffee. Right down the road, hey, Sheriff, hey, two blocks down the road, there's a nice coffee shop there. We can sit and have a chat for a half hour, 20 minutes. We can have a cup of coffee. And if you got any questions, take a look at this book. Any questions, we'll talk and meet with him. Become his best buddy and get him to understand what his real job is. And make him understand that his job one of the job requirements is to be able to understand the oath he took. You took an oath to uphold and obey the Constitution and to protect the people and to protect the people's unalienable rights. You took that oath. Don't be going to talk to no attorney. Learn what that means. Like you learned codes? Well, not for you. You should be learning not codes. You should be learning the law, the Constitution. And we will help you, okay? And that's how we win them over, okay? But right now, the only indictments we teach anyone to do is an indictment against anyone charging them, and you have to have solid proof on this. You got to be real careful here to make sure, you know, if they're preventing you from getting access into that courtroom and, you know, to have a seat in the courtroom, an office in the courtroom, you know, in the courthouse, and you're working under the auspices of justice at arm's length from that judge. Arm's length means stay away. Don't touch me. You're too close. Go away. Okay? It's a runaway grand jury. That's what we are. And that's where we have to be operating from. So the first order of business is get a seat in the courthouse. So how do you do that? That's what we're teaching, how to do that. First, you have to get the process of get it elected. And you got to bone up on the common law. You got to start to learn the process and the procedures. You start to organize. Get them all elected and get them constituted. Okay? And watch what's happening in New York. Every time we do something, we file it. And Florida's moving on. Every time Florida's doing something, we'll be filing theirs. Pennsylvania's got some stuff going on we need to be dealing with shortly, and we'll file theirs. And anybody else in any other state. And now people will be able to go up and look to see what other people are doing and say, oh, okay, that's my next move. That's what I'm going to do. And then you watch. And if you're not sure, you know, of the situation, whether, you know, it's something you can go out and seek an indictment for, you know, you can always call us up. You can call other people in your state. You can call the state coordinator. And again, every state, eventually people will rise up with good understanding and knowledge in these areas, and they'll be able to help lead their state and walk with them until they're able to stand on their own. You know, we all are learning. We all know we have to work with each other and lean on each other. So that's where we're at. So anyway.
Well, one of the problems that I'm having in my county is that we had a sheriff who was a criminal himself, and he pretty much got run out of town, and then they appointed a temporary sheriff, and after a few weeks, they decided, well, he couldn't be the temporary sheriff because he's running for office for the sheriff, and that hasn't happened yet, so now we've got an active sheriff. Not active, what is the word I want, appointed sheriff, mm-hmm. Temporarily, but in a few months we're going to have a new sheriff. And so I kind of don't know who to go to. I mean, I'm hoping that the guy that is easiest to talk to is going to be the one to get elected, because he's
right.
Also very pro-Constitution.
Once you have a grand jury, it doesn't matter if you're Sheriff Hitler. Totally irrelevant, because you're going to have a discussion with him. and he's going to understand what the law is, and he's going to have to obey, and he's now in the sunlight. He's no longer, he can't operate in the darkness no more. Neither can the judges, because the people are there, and he's going to do the right thing. His heart may be evil, but that's not our job to judge. We're to judge his actions. And so we'll tell him what to do, and he'll obey. And if he doesn't, then we'll remove him from office. It's a very simple thing for the grand jury to remove them from office.
So we need to rely on our acting sheriff right now, and then after the election, break in the new sheriff.
Right. But bear in mind, you're not going to really get too much with him if you're going to talk to them as if you're from the position of the grand jury. If you're talking with him because he's your sheriff and you're in the county and you want to talk with him, and I wouldn't talk about grand jury stuff because he wouldn't understand what you're talking about and he'd think you're crazy, and he doesn't. And when he goes and talks with the lawyers, they're going to say, those people, don't even pay attention to them. So there's no, you don't even bother trying to talk to him about what we're doing unless he's savvy. I mean, maybe your sheriff is savvy. There are some people out there that know they got sheriffs that are savvy and they do understand and they're able to talk to them about it, but that's rare. That's rare. I say wait till you get into the courthouse. That's the battle, and that's what we teach. Get in the first order of business, get into the courthouse. Once you get a seat in the courthouse, second order of business, of course, help the other counties do the same thing. But the second order of business is to bind the strong man. The strong man is the judge, and you got to bind him with the Constitution, the common law, and make it a common law court. Third order of business, okay, now is to deal with the prosecutor. No more puppet grand juries. No more corporate grand juries. You want a grand jury, you give us a call, and we'll take care of that. The next order of business is having your sheriff down for a talk and set up meetings for him with coffee and educate him. Spend as much time as you can with him and educate that man. Make him understand that, you know, his job requires an understanding and a knowledge of the Constitution, and you're here to help him. And if he's not willing to do that, then he needs to be looking for another job. Because rest assured, you look at, you do the right thing. Here in New York, we have a problem with the governor. He's threatening everybody. Well, we're going to let the sheriff know, don't worry about him. He can't do nothing because he's got to come to us. You can't be thrown out of office unless you're indicted. And he's got to come to us for an indictment. And if he thinks he's going to get an indictment from us because you're standing up for the Constitution over those stupid statues of theirs, you know, they got another thing to learn. That's not going to happen. So, you know, once, you know, they realize this, they're going to become empowered to really do the bold things that they need to be doing and stop running off to this, attorney to find out what to do. That's the New World Order. Don't go talk to them, guys. Come talk to the people. We're the people. We'll tell you what to do if you need to be told, and eventually you'll know on your own. So anyway, that's kind of the plan, and, you know, we've got to work with the sheriff to get the militias going if we don't have militias. Because of today's day and age, right, so to speak, I would say let him lead the militia and take total control of the militia for right now, just for now,
right,
temporarily, because it really belongs in the hands of the people. And once we have the militias working in every county throughout the state, like in New York, we don't have that, not to my knowledge. We get them going and throughout the state. Now, at some point, we'll be comfortable, okay, Sheriff, give us back the reins. But we're here. You make the phone call. You need a lot of deputies. Just give us a call, and we'll meet you at the border. Whatever it is that he needs to be done, we'll work. We'll do it, you know. But militia has to be run by the people and supported by the government, the state government. So we need to reestablish that. We need to establish a plan with the sheriff for an emergency situation. All resources in our county belong to our county. Nobody can come in and take that. Federal plan is to come in and seize everything, and then disperse it the way they want it, according to the people that they want to keep alive. Everybody else dies. They don't care. No. First order of business, all resources of our county belongs in our county. Any surplus flows to the counties around us, and eventually it'll flow to the states around us. And it's the same thing with the other counties. And if that happens in the state of emergency, we'll be able to feed each other. We'll be able to work together to keep things going. We'll be able to arm ourselves and protect our borders and work together with the law enforcement that's set up for this that we elected, the sheriff. We're supposed to have 62 sheriffs, so we don't have 62 in New York. We've lost 7 of them. We need to get them back. But we need 62 sheriffs, and we need to back them up in an emergency. FEMA, stay out of town. Don't come onto New York soil. And that's the attitude we all have to have. And if we have that attitude, that's it. They're done with. So anyway, okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
That takes
Thanks
care
for
of my question. Okay, thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you. Okay, 970-213, you should be hearing. You've been unmuted. 970-213.
Yes, John. Eric with Larimer County, Colorado. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Eric?
Quite well. I had a few things I wanted to discuss tonight. One of them is a request, and this may or may not sound logical to you, but I wish that you, every time that you open a Monday night call, that you state the date and time and give it kind of a preface. So as I search data, I can hear the first 10 seconds as you identify yourself as the time, the date, and where you're broadcasting from. And
okay.
Here in Colorado, I find it of great utility. It can only help, you know, as I go through New York's files one by one, it can only help me direct myself in a particular direction I choose.
Okay.
So I
appreciate that. And we do try to label at least a little bit about the subject matter what we start off with. And I don't know whether I did that for last week. I got to go back if I didn't and do that. And I'll do it for this week, too, just to give an idea what we talked about. But that makes sense. And I'll try. I just made a note of that. I'll try to remember to do that. You know, I'm kind of new at this, so we're kind of fumbling around. And eventually, at some point, it'll just flow off, you know, out of my mouth.
Yes, you know, and as you know, as you are, I find you a great man, quite diligent. I appreciate your efforts. The first 10 seconds, I'd love to know your name, even though I've, you know, heard it 1,000 times. The date, you know, NLA, and this is a Monday night program, and even possibly how many editions or like in magazines or newspapers. You know, what edition is this? How many casts or broadcasts or podcasts, et cetera, is this?
Right.
That would help us for data
mining.
Yeah,
we've got about, I'll have to look in there, but we got about 55, maybe 60. We've been doing this for that many weekends. We were doing this before we started the, you know, before we started the grand jury part of the process. But, you know.
Me with a lot of data. And so that's what I'm bringing to the table is that there is just so much, and thank you that there is so much. But if I can get in the first 10 seconds what date it is, the time, who's involved, you know, even possibly how many callers, that really helps the movement.
Yeah, well, right now we've got 49 callers on the call-in. And we had about, goodness, I think we had about 30-some-odd people in the other chat room, but we got about 13 now. And that's in the Blog Talk chat room. In our chat room online, we've got, goodness, I'm out of that room. Let me see if I can get into that room. I don't know that I can get a number right now on that one, but I'm just looking.
I am there. It's 63 users, and that I am there. I use my phone for the talk, so I can engage in looking things up on the website.
Okay. So we got about 115 people, I guess, all together, roughly speaking. And usually we have about 150 between the three, sometimes more. And so we're a little shy this week than normal. But we did have a lot more people in the other chat room earlier, but I don't know where they went to. Some people left. You know, we need to build this up. It's up to the leaders and the people that come to this program. Everyone that comes to this program and understands on how important these meetings are, you should be on the phones to the counties around you, the other county leaders, and say, hey, did you make it to Monday night's meeting? No, I didn't. Well, why not? You got to get there, man, because we got to get this thing going. We got to get this on the road. We need people in all 800 or so counties. Just think about this. If in 2 weeks we can turn 800 counties over, we're one quarter of the way there in the nation. One quarter. Come on, people. Think about that. Think about that. What, the 28, 29, 30 to 132? Yeah, we would be one quarter of all of the counties in the nation, and that would be huge. Come on, let's constitute these grand juries. It doesn't take anything. It takes an hour on the phone to make an arrangement to go somewhere, maybe 2 or 3 hours throughout the week. If one person was to do this, it would take you 2 or 3 hours throughout the week just to make phone calls, to get people to come, to get a place, to get people to come, and then it'll take an hour and a half of your time to travel there. The process is 35 minutes. Now, you may spend longer. You know, you may hang out and talk. But that's it, 35 minutes.
Now, if you'd allow, I have a couple more things I'd like to add. I really appreciate and applaud the use of Robert's Rules of Order, even though it did come from the British as the Magna Carta, you know, was handed down. It's really helped us. It's really helped us in the last week project a more positive strategy for the future. And I don't know if you're catching the text here on the site, but I did put down, 10 minutes is rightfully allotted for every being in assembly. Please be understanding /consenting to this process. We the people, one of the people, have acknowledged order is necessary to proceed efficiently in all actions. And I haven't heard you talk much lately on Robert's Rules of Order, but I find it a great utility.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that, and that's why we do have Robert's Rules of Order. We got the short version. We got the got a quick list of Robert's Rules of Order. We have the in-depth knowledge of it. We have all of that up there. So I think it's four or five different parts of Robert's Rules of Order, how you can approach it. And if you're having a meeting, definitely it's the way to go to consider what you want to use in that and how you can go about, especially when you got 25 people in a room. So everybody should learn Robert's Rules of Orders, and it does work well everyone should at some point in their life become a committee man for 2 years. And it's not a big thing. It's like one day a month, so 12 days a year. It's not that bad, okay? And so you join that, and Robert's Rules of Orders will become good there. This is run more like it's an open forum, okay? And I do spend too much time with people sometime. But I'm missing Gerard. He's missing in action. He just came on. And he needs to be able to control me to say, John, move on, and then I'll move on, hopefully. But other than that, I look at this as an open forum, I try to spend the first hour to educate and update, okay, and tie up loose ends and talk about problems and deal with it. If we have a correction to make, we need to make the corrections, And in the next 2 hours, we try to just take questions and answers and do the best we can. We wouldn't use Robert's Rules here, but go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why I brought that tool up, not here as in on Monday Night Call, but that's why I brought it up, so that you can efficiently bring to all we the people, one of the people, that you have Robert's Rules of Order on the site for a reason, so that we can have a meeting with wellness, with fairness, with efficiency. And I appreciate that. I do also have one more thing I'd like to bring up is I posted it on the website here. It says official common law grand jury seal or embossment, /embossment. It says the description status of the lawful common law grand jury's official seal embossment is not a federal or state seal and is self-evident. The official seal of the common law grand jury is a seal of we the people /one of the people in congregation with the highest authority under the supreme benevolent creator of the universe only. We the people /one of the people are the principles of all that stands directly under the supreme benevolent creator without question as self-evident described by definition. And why I say that is because in my next portion I say, hearsay suggests that one of the people have been arrested, charged, and convicted, and sentenced to jail for impersonating or replicating and or the like of a state or federal seal. Please address this issue
as hearsay suggests, one of the people are in bonds for a federal offense. Key words, grand jury, state, and seal. So from what I understand from hearsay is that we, the people, one of the people, have already been prosecuted and are in bonds and jailed for even having a seal.
Not any of our people.
Yeah, where did that happen?
Yeah, well, hold on. Before you go to Gerard, can you get online? Hang on one sec. Gerard, can you get online or are you having problems?
What do you mean online? I'm on. Yeah, no, I'm online.
Yeah, you're coming
from
into
what
my,
I understand, it's
my
between
line.
From what I understand, it's between Minnesota
you need to dial in. Yeah.
And Colorado or my, I think it's Minnesota and Colorado. It's between
Let me tell you some of the things. Let me straighten it out so people don't get frightened of this because and listen, now is not a time for fear. But in any event, anybody who does who gets themselves in trouble in that way, it's because they're doing something outside of what we're teaching them. As I mentioned earlier, there's a group of people doing some things. They're pretty bold, and I commend them on the one hand. I think they're doing it the wrong way, and I hope they're successful, and maybe we'll work together one day. But I think they're working very, very dangerously, and they stand a chance of getting arrested with what they're doing. It could be viewed as subversion. Okay. What we are doing are very clear. I mentioned this earlier. We're very careful to make the point we are the common law grand jury. And this is a psychological reason, and again, we're working against their ego and their snobbery. Because as soon as they hear that, they just can't help themselves but to make that argument, and they make it on paper, and they call us what we are, the common law grand jury, and that the common law has been done away. Now, they made the separation already that we're not doing what they're doing. Okay? And also, there's no way they're going to try to come out after us and claim that the common law has anything to do with the real law. And on our seal, we have, at the outside of the seal, it's the New York grand jury or whatever your grand jury is. It's a state grand jury. And then on the bottom, it says the county. I think it's New York County and then on the bottom, grand jury, if I recall. That's the outer ring. The inner ring, in Latin, says natural law, which is common law, by the grace of God, in Latin. And then dead center is 1215. Now, that has nothing to do with these people, and they know exactly what all that means. They know the Latin, and they know what 1215 means. And they know that we're common law, and they want no part of us. And they make that separation and that point very quickly. Thank you very much. We now set the jurisdiction of where your jurisdiction, where our jurisdiction, and we have nothing to do with your jurisdiction. You have nothing to do with our jurisdiction. But we're going to bring our jurisdiction back into the courts because that's the people's jurisdiction. We don't want the New World Order jurisdiction. We don't want the fiction in the courts. We want reality. We want natural law in the courthouse. There is a group of people. There is a group of people that ran into a problem. We have talked about this down in Florida, and they were doing silly things. They were literally trying to get criminals out of jail. The guy was insane. Okay, totally, and he got arrested eventually. It took him a while. Okay, they've sent the FBI out on us three times, and the FBI, same day they came out, walked away. Said, "We're not going to bother with you. We don't see a problem here," because they understood what we're doing. Okay, now. There are people that have done things in California, I'm aware of, in Michigan, and many, many other places, and they have not been successful. And we know why they're not successful. We tell people why we're doing what we have to do the right way. Now, I am not aware of anyone, anywhere, that is doing what we're doing that got arrested. People have been threatened, but they can't do nothing because we're not them. We're the people. And we have every right to do what we're doing. And we're doing it very carefully, and we put the proper words there to be very careful, and we're going out to talk to the people, and they're being constituted, and we're serving notice, and we're very careful. We're not assaulting people, and we're not threatening people. We just want to get back into the courthouse that we, the people, own, period. And we want to bring justice back into that courthouse. So we don't really have to worry about that. Now, whoever this is that you're talking about, if other people in that county must know about it, they should give me a call and tell me the story, what's going on. But I am sure it has nothing to do with the people we've trained. We do have some loose cannons out there, and I spoke about this earlier. If people think that they're going to go out and use the UCC and use their fiction and go out and claim judgments against these judges, that's going to give you some power. It's going to put you in jail is what it's going to do. Okay? And separate yourself from us because we don't want to be associated with it. We want no part of that. And the people who are doing that, I'm sure it's a mistake, and they were thinking of some things and learned something wrong because there's a lot of poison out there, okay? So we're going to fix that. I'm going to make the phone call to this person. I'm going to make sure that they understand they're doing the right thing. Maybe they're on the call tonight. And, and as long as they're willing to work with us and realize that they can't be doing it, fine. I'm not revealing anyone's name, but if I can't convince them to do it the right way, God bless them. Do what you got to do, but don't connect yourself with National Liberty Alliance. Separate yourself from us, and don't try to take the people away from the people we are building up to take this nation back with. We'll come in here doing exactly that and causing discord. And we were able to cut that cancer out from us. And the only reason we were able to cut that cancer out for us was because of the people in the grassroots. They saw it and they realized. And not only did we cut them out from our end, they cut them out from their end. We want no part of you. Because you're going to go get your... I don't know what they are. Maybe they're subverters. Or maybe they're just misinformed people. I don't know. I'm not going to judge them either way. But I want no part of it. And neither should anyone else that's working with us to do the right thing. We're coming with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. That's our mantra. And it needs to be repeated numerous times every time we come together. When you come into a meeting, I think you should talk. What you hear about and what the attitude is to be, a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. We, the people, must keep reminding ourselves of those things in order to make the godly decisions that we need to be making. And also to let the other people know who and what we really are. We're not here for a witch hunt. We're not here to make war. We're here to make peace. We've got the olive branch. We just want to go forward, and we want the people. We want our country back. We want our nation back. We want the republic back. We want God back in our courts. We want God back in our schools. And if you're an atheist and you live in an atheist community, that's fine. God bless you too, okay? And that's the way it is. I live in a town that's pretty conservative, not politically speaking, but just pretty conservative, Across the river, there's a town very, very liberal. They marry homosexuals. Well, that's not the place where I would be living. I'd rather live in a conservative place where people are kind of like me a little bit, So that's what people do. And I'm a Christian. It's a Christian community. Hey, people do what you want to do. God bless you all. And that's the attitude we have to have. So when people come... And they send these their spies to spy out our liberty. Let them hear godly things. Who knows? The spy they send in may be conformed and join us. Okay, but let them hear what we're really all about. We're about honor and justice and mercy. That's what we're about. And the moment we lose those three things, any one of those things, they lose one of them, and you've lost everything. You've lost everything, and we will not succeed. We will not succeed. We just won't succeed. Anyway, anything else? 970-213? Anything else? Gerard, did you ever make it back on, by the way? I don't know if we lost...
Yeah, I'm on. I'm in the... He looks like he's still there.
Yeah, I got the mic open, but I don't hear him.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he lost his audio. I don't know.
All right, well, I'll leave your mic open for a minute or two in case you want to do a final comment. I'll close your mic off in a minute or so, but I'll leave it open for a minute. 724-953, 724-953. You'll be hearing that you've been unmuted. Keep an eye on the checks chat. Any questions out there, let me know, Gerard. I'll take it after this caller.
Mm-hmm.
724-953. And if you can find Roger, I didn't know his number. You can unmute him, and he can help. 724-953, you got the mic. And 970-213, you're still unmuted if you want to talk. Okay, I'm not getting either of them. They probably went for a cup of coffee or something.
No, that I'm with you, John, here at in Larimer County. I'm just asking
this
one thing from
724 or 970. This is 724.
This is the 970 from Larimer County, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had lost
you there
for a while.
Your and NLA's position on an embossment and a stamp, and how you see it. I would really like you to reiterate, or possibly even help new callers or new people understand. Do you support the raised embossment, or do you support the fictional, you know, ink stamp?
Oh no! It must be an imprint. It must be raised embossment, and it must say what we.
For a moment with the people.
Huh?
Would you go into that for a moment
with
one long?
Anybody? Sure. Anybody who goes on to the site and hovers their cursor over the Juris tab, okay, and you will find a page on that Juris tab that says how to start a grand jury. Click on that page. If you don't know about it, you should know about it and get the word out to others who don't know about it. Click on how to start a jury, okay? When you get to that page, read the page. There's a video on that page. Gives you step-by-step instructions. It's 35 and a half minutes long, okay? And it starts from the very beginning. It shows you all the paperwork. It shows you the seal. We show you where to buy the seal, how much it costs. We tell you exactly what to put on the seal. Now, this is extremely important that you put the right things on this seal. Not only for us to do the same thing everywhere, the only difference should be your state and your county. Everything else is the same. Why? Well, first of all, we're giving honor to God, and we're raising him up, because the center of that seal says, in Latin, it says, natural law by the grace of God. That's clear. That's common law. Natural law by the grace of God in Latin, and it looks really cool in Latin. The outer ring says your county and your state. Now, you may have to use, your state initials to make this work, but you'll have to figure that out, you know, and play with it. When you get out there, you just type the stuff in, and it fits, it don't. But you don't want to, you know, you might have to, depending on how long your county is, you know, you're going to want to put, and you're going to want to probably, excuse me, abbreviate your county. And your county abbreviation is CO, by the way. It's not CTY. That's not county. County is CO. So if I put New York with the initials, I put NY space Duchess CO, okay? If I could fit New York in, I would. I don't think we could, and I don't think we could fit county in Duchess. But there are some states which it's not too long, you know, Ohio maybe, and maybe you get a county that's not too long, and you can get all of that in. And maybe you can't get the county in, so you put CO. But the thing is that's what you put there, okay? On the bottom, it says grand jury, okay? And in the dead center, it's 1215, which is the year of the Magna Carta. Now, when you're in California and you put a stamp on your paper, and we're in New York and we put a stamp on our paper, we put that embossment on our papers. And let's say we're doing something on a national level together, working with California, and we had 62 grand juries with all the seals looking the same. The only difference is the county. And then you go look at California, and the only difference is the state and the counties. Okay? You see, that shows unity. That lets them know we are united. We are unified even across the nation. We're not just unified in New York. We're unified across this nation. And we, the people, are here. And we want our country back. We want our nation back. And that's the bottom line. When I say country, I mean New York. Well, you mean California, Ohio.
I want my union back, not just Colorado. Whole union.
That's why I want the nation back. Right. All of the states, we want them back. And we're going to take them back. And we're going to do it peacefully. We're going to give them an olive branch. And we're going to go forward. And we're going to bring the republic back. And it's up to
us.
Well, again,
an olive
now,
branch is, it's called the pen.
Huh?
If they don't know what the olive branch is, it's called the pen.
Well, yeah, the pen could be bold in a different ways too. But but anyway, you know, in order for us to do that, I'm going to be a broken record here. If the people don't stand up, we have nothing. If we can't keep this website up, we have nothing, okay? And anybody who's been here long enough knows that I'm not here about power, I'm not here about ego. I'm here about uniting and teaching and organizing, and I've told the people very clearly, once we get this whole thing up, I'm going to decrease very much as possible. I'll always be here to teach and maintain this website and keep it going, but the controls will be in the hands of other peoples. You know, and we've worked that out already. We're not going to discuss it again. You can listen to that in the past events that we've spoken here about. But I'm very careful. When we see the enemy, we call it for what it is, and we want to get rid of him quick. And thank God the people have been able to notice the enemy and have been giving me a phone call and talked about them, and I look into it, and I agree with them. And look, it's their state. If they want to get rid of someone, that's their business. It's not mine. And I'll give them my thoughts if I think they're wrong, but whatever they want to do, I'm not a dictator here. There is no orders that come down from what you might call the national level. That doesn't come down from here. We don't tell anybody what to do. But we are teaching people, and there is a process, there is a procedure, and you can't change that process, and you can't change that procedure. We have discovered it. We have researched it. We're teaching it. You either do it or you don't. You don't want to do it, fine. You could do it on your own. Go away and do it. But if you want to do it the right way, this is the way to do it. Did I lose you? What happened to him? Okay, I guess it's the next caller. Who's the next caller? I wasn't paying attention to the numbers here. Gerard?
I think you were working down. Hang on, I got to get
back
to that
screen. Yeah,
I
was working down. Okay, I see. I think it's 816 is the next. Yeah. 816-214. You should be hearing. Your mic is unmuted. Go right ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, hello. This is Robert R. Smith, and I'm from Riverside, Missouri.
How you doing, Bob?
I sent you an email this week, and you gave me a pretty good answer back. And you know, I was just because I was going through the state constitution, and it has this part in here on section 16 of the Bill of Rights, part of the state constitution. It says that no grand jury shall be convened except upon the order of a judge of a court having the power to try and determine felony, which you told me, and which I agree with you totally. It's totally unconstitutional. I mean, as far as the national constitution is concerned.
Well, you know,
but,
they're probably right on the corporate end anyway, so.
Well,
Okay.
Right. The thing that I see here is something you said earlier tonight. You know, that this is about binding the strong man, and the strong man is the judge. Okay, well, you know he's going to come up and say, that's unconstitutional. You know, because no judge is calling a court who has the power to try and determine felonies. You see what I'm saying? So he's going to say, this is unconstitutional according to the state constitution. So then we basically have to argue at some point, that this is wrong to start with, right?
Right. Well, absolutely. Look, first of all, it's not going to stand up because the people never gave authority for that to happen, what they're doing in that constitution to begin with. And any constitution out there that is not in uniform with the constitution for the United States of America, if it's out of step with that, it's null and void. It's irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. We shut it down. And the Supreme Court has ruled many, many times a law that is repugnant to the Constitution is not only null and void, it's as if it never happened. Okay? So
That's right. So one has to wonder, why did they put this in here? Of course, you know why they put it in here, and that's for this very reason.
Sure.
But it was way back. I mean, it was way back. This is the 1945 Constitution revised in 2006.
Yes.
But it goes back to 1875.
That's right. Yeah, look, the enemy's been here for a long time. A long, long time.
Well, boy, I sure see that, yes.
But look, we write papers.
Well, I'm trying.
We write lots of papers. We write memorandums. And people who are getting to that point where they start to read the law and start to read the memorandums and the law cases that we write, you can find them under judicial that's what you find, judicial.
Judicial.
Tab, and you look for court case examples. And if you click on that, we have a memorandum here called Law and Jurisdiction. Whenever I fight a court case at any time from this point since I wrote this, this accompanies my action at law. And I set the stage and the jurisdiction immediately. My first order of business before any judge that thinks he's going to be a judge in the court that I called, because I'm the plaintiff, I'm the sovereign of the court, he's not going to be a judge in my court. He's going to be a magistrate, because that's what the common law calls for. He doesn't get to make a judgment. He doesn't get to come to make a decision. That's done by the tribunal, not him. So he can't throw me out for not having standing. He can't throw me out for not having a cause of action. That's not none of his business. That's for the tribunal to decide. And we're going to get to the tribunal.
Uh-huh.
And if the other side is brain dead and doesn't understand what's going on and they don't call for a jury, well, then fine. There's only one sovereign in the court, and that's me. And I will make the decision at the end, and that's common law. The king makes the decision. Now, usually he brings his entourage. He brings his reflectors. That's the jury, because I'm going in there for justice, and I want them to reflect my will, which is just. And I got to show them it's just, and they're going to reflect my will, and they're going to rule for me. And but in there, you know, the first order of business is the argument of jurisdiction. That's what I get involved with. We don't, you know, when I go to court, I used to get so frustrated sometimes because I go in there and I'm trying to make a defense against the other side, and I'm building up an assault against them, and I make a defense against whatever they say, and the judge is against me. And I find I'm fighting the damn judge at the same time I'm trying to fight the enemy. What the heck's going on here? And, you know, then I realized, okay, now I got to start with the judge. So I write my papers, and then he says, oh, all this crazy stuff and all this stuff is, you know, I don't know what you're writing this stuff for. You know, well, once you read it, you figure it out. Now I realize, I'm going in first order of business is jurisdiction. And if he doesn't hold the jurisdiction that I brought in, because I'm the plaintiff, I'm the sovereign of the court, and the other side didn't complain and deny the common law, they're too stupid to deny it because they don't even see it. But, you know, it's plain, it's in there, okay? They didn't deny it, and I didn't deny it. No one's moving you, judge, to go back into an EC Prius process. Therefore, you know, this is a common law procedure. And if he doesn't go along with it, I write a writ of error, I go back, I make a supplementary to the case, and I add him as a defendant, and the next time I come into court, there's another judge, and he's over there with his lawyer next to the lawyer I'm battling. Then I'll battle two lawyers. I can beat them guys all day long easily. It's the judge up there that's got to stay out of my way.
Well, what I was thinking, John, is this, that yes, I mean, you have all this experience as these other people do, such as Hagen and all the rest of these people and Gerard and all. I mean, you people are so very sharp. So, in other words, this is going to take here in Missouri. I mean, I know when we finally get the grand juries constituted, and I think we're trying to get started with it. I've been in contact with the state coordinator, and I've signed up as a county coordinator. But you know, to tell you the truth, I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't know anything. So
well,
I'm trying to learn.
We all start
to,
off there. We all start off with that.
Yeah,
none of us know
well,
what we're doing.
We're
on the job training. We'll figure it out.
It really is on the job training. But what I see is coming up is in other words, listen, I do have a question. I do have another question. You know,
let me make a comment on what you just said first.
Sure.
I'm on the phone all day long sometimes. I get one call after another. I take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in the same call sometimes, and then we're all over the place in the conference, and eventually we whittle down to nothing. I try to get away, and another call comes in. So I talk to people all across this nation, and I want to tell you we have some brilliant people involved with us. We have great legal minds out in California. We got people who understand the common law in Washington and Oregon and many other places. Okay, that I get calls from people, and they will emerge, they will surface, okay, they will surface. You know, when the time comes, they will surface. And I tell them when I talk with them, I say, hey, look, you know, you understand a lot of this stuff, and you may be lacking this, or you may, and go look here and go see that. And they go in to look, and it just rounds out their education and what they're doing. And I tell them, look, you got to emerge in your state and let the people know that you're there for, you know, if you need some kind of, information or to write a paper or something, they're there for you. We got to, and we'll do it from New York if we have to, especially if you're fighting into the courts and you need us to help you with a memorandum or to write a true bill. We'll help you. We got lots of examples,
yeah,
but we'll find someone
that
interesting.
That is so nice. Yeah, that is so good to hear, John. Because basically, you know what I'm seeing it as from the standpoint of a complete novice, which I am. What I'm seeing here is that like it's going to take some skill to be able to handle this. This kind of thing, you know.
We have a small army. We have a small army of people who have been in the federal courts, the state courts, most of them better than 25 years, who are on the sidelines ready to step in when the time comes to be a private attorney generals. And I told them, I said, look, we're going to need a lot more than what you got, and they're going to set up a course for that. There are people already calling themselves private attorney generals, and they'll need to jump into this course. We'll set something up. You know, we're going to be doing things. We're going to be doing courses online at some point, but right now is the time of organizing and constituting and learning. That's what the time right now is for, boning up on the common law. But eventually we will do live courses online. We'll do something. We're going to educate the people because that's what they need. That's the only thing they need from us is an education. And then they can stand up on their own two feet and do the people's business.
Well, I want to thank you, John, for your website and for the information that is there. I've accessed some of it. I haven't gone into it as much as I need to, but I have accessed some of it. And, boy, I tell you what, it's like there's a lot of material there to be learned, and I need to learn all of it and put it all together. But, you know, as I go along a little bit, it's beginning to click a little bit, you know. But, listen, I have a real important question to ask you.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to this? The last I heard with your situation in New York is that you were gone for the sheriff to go and arrest some people, and I haven't heard anything back about that. What
right.
went on that?
Well, we did give a little bit of an update last week and a little bit of an update earlier today when we started the program, so you must have missed that. But, you know, I got my schedule, and God's got a totally different schedule than mine. And, you know, I got to go along with his, and that's where we're at. We, for reasons in life, a lot of things have been bogging me down. Gerard's been busy with things and life, you know, and we just haven't been able to get the paperwork done. We'd love to be able to do it instantaneously. I am planning tomorrow. A matter of fact, just so everybody knows, anybody who wants to call me tomorrow, don't. I'm not going to answer the phone till maybe after 8 o'clock. If I'm not finished with my paperwork, I'm not going to answer then either, 8 o'clock at night, that is. But I'm going to spend the day to get this memorandum, get this bill done and get the paperwork and make the plan, talk to some other people, have my English and grammar checked by others. There are other people who want to read the work and comment on it, and they do a great job helping me with my punctuation to make sure that's right and other things. And once we feel it's perfected, and I think we can do it in 1 or 2 days, we're going to file it. Now, I'd like to say on Friday we'd go down to see the sheriff. I don't know whether that's possible, but I think by Monday morning, if we don't go down by Friday, we're going to go down Monday morning, we'll see the sheriff. So next week I'm hoping to be able to say, hey, we did the bill, it's up there. And we'll post it as soon as it gets done, so you can check often up there, maybe every day, go check the page, see if there's new information up there.
Oh, I'm excited. I will check.
So we'll get it up there. And once we get it up there, you know, and once we do the thing with the sheriff, we'll let everybody know that too. And I'm hoping next Monday to be able to talk about the sheriff and talk about the indictment together. But if not, I'm sure we'll at least talk about the indictment. And it's kind of fascinating the way we're going to be doing this indictment. We're going to be doing it very differently than what we've done it before. You know, desperate times calls for desperate measures, you know. So we're in a situation where we really can't do it normally because we have a clerk at the desk who has been indicted and still is at the desk. And obviously we can't give it to her. And she has never been sworn in, so she's not in office. We have a judge up there that has been indicted, and we can't give it to him because he's been indicted, so we can't trust him to he may felony rescue himself. So what's very interesting is there's a newly elected judge, just started in January, and he knows who we are, and we're going to deliver it straight into his hands. And we're going to have the sheriff take it right to him. We're going to pay the sheriff to go deliver this paperwork to be filed, and it'll be his responsibility. And we'll follow that up with a phone call and maybe a visit. But we're going to let people know as soon as we know when we're going to see the sheriff. We'd like to get a lot of people involved. The day is coming when we will have all the counties done, and then we're going to do something really big in this state, really big. We're going to call for
marvelous,
a representative
marvelous.
Of every, at least one representative from every county, and we're going to tell them to bring their seals. And we're going to do something, not sure what it is. We'll see where we're at the time that that happens. And we have people in other states that are willing to travel to us. We have Connecticut and Jersey and Pennsylvania. And anybody that wants to travel on that date for that event, whatever it's going to be something big. And it's going to be something that's going to put a shiver down their backs, let me tell you. So, and again, I don't know what that's going to be yet because we're not there yet, and I don't know. But we are escalating in our what we're doing. We are escalating. And I think I know what it's going to be, but I won't say. I just don't know who the people are going to be focused at the time. But it's got. I think it's going to be the thing that's going to break the whole thing right open here in New York. And if not, we got other things behind that. We've done our homework. They may think we're going to go away. They may think we don't know what to do next. They don't even know what to do next, but we do. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John. And, you know, that's all I wanted to say, really, was just, and you really did such a great job of answering the question and everything. And your email to me was so nice, and I was so glad to receive it, and, you know, and it really did encourage me. And I do feel greatly encouraged by tonight.
See,
and,
now
all
everybody,
the times I've listened to you.
See, now that everybody writes an email thinks I'm going to give him an answer like that. I can't. You know,
No.
You're one
I
of
understand.
The people I was
no,
able to get to. So I just want to let everybody else
know.
Oh,
well, I really thank God for that.
I cannot answer all the emails I get. I try to. I spend time every day to answer some emails, but I just can't get to them all, and I apologize.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I've been communicating with my state coordinator, you know, Darryl Walton. I've been communicating with him, and, you know, he said, you know, this is a question you probably should bring up to John because, you know, it's a very important question. So, you know, I had already done that but when he said that, but it's like, so maybe he's listening tonight too. But anyway, he and I are going to be talking and, you know, I'd like to see a face-to-face meeting of some kind. You
right.
know,
well,
I can tell you one thing.
When New York's in and other states are coming in, and then we have states that are going to give a hard time like your state, New York and other states are going to come to your rescue. I was told, and I have not researched this yet. It's just something I was told a while back by someone who has a lot more experience than I do in the courts. And he says there is a precedent where states have come to the aids of other states. And I haven't gotten into
this.
As a matter of fact, next time I talk with this person, I'm going to try to get into a more detailed situation on that to see how we can use that. So New York will come to the rescue of other states, and California, California is going to break open real soon. I can see it coming. Florida is ready to just break open. Arizona is ready to go. Ohio, Pennsylvania, these states are moving, okay? And there are other states too. But let me tell you, when we break through, for those states that are having a problem, we'll be there because we are one people from sea to shining sea, so to speak. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. God bless. We'll talk to you another time. Let me take the
God
next
bless
call.
You.
Okay. 845-516. I have a feeling that is, who is that? Is that you, Paul?
That's Oliver.
Oh, Oliver, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Anything to report? Oliver, by the way,
I just need to get you updated a little bit on the plan for New York.
Hold on a second, Oliver. I just want to tell everybody, Oliver's been working with Paul. Paul was on a little earlier telling us on some of the things he's doing towards the western side. Oliver's working the northern part of New York. Oliver, go ahead. Give us an update on where we're at. And people, please pay attention because I think we have a good plan in New York on how we can get our counties done quickly and efficiently and get powered. Go ahead.
Although I don't remember whether Paul gave you the date for doing the western part of New York, but it's the 8th of February.
Correct.
So we're going to follow the northeast, not the center, but the northeast on the 15th.
Okay.
And then the 22nd, we're going to do the central. And in the Northeast, we we're targeting to get every county in the Northeast in that one day. Now, that's going to be a tough thing
to do.
That's
probably going to be four hearings, four sessions, right?
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4
sessions.
4 o'clock, and 7.
Yes. So 10, 1, 4, and 7.
Great.
So that's the... And we will start in the southern part of the area and go up to the north in the middle of the day and then come back south and do the 7, the other one, somewhat in the southern, you know, near Albany. And then that will be the day.
Okay.
That's how we got it laid out. We're making about 4 counties per, and we have work to do to get all that arranged yet. But that's our intention there.
So that would be
and
16 counties, 4 in each location?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe
and
that's
what we
right
have there. We have, what do we have, 16 or 17 counties up there?
I don't recall exactly, but we can get them all. It looks like we can get them all in. We already have
okay
one constituted. So
right,
we
right
just have, we just have the 16 to do. Mm-hmm. And then we'll, with what Paul learns out and everybody learns out in the West and what we learn there, we will use our best knowledge to get the center part of the state on the 22nd. And then
okay
that'll give us a chance to pick up the rest of them. And we have 2 laggard counties that we have to take care of. We have a guy who was living down there, Jeff, who knows some people down there, so we'll get him to work that out some weekday evening, most likely. And then we got, I guess, it's Delaware County, which we hope to be able to combine with a part of the rest of the central of the state. And
mm-hmm
that's the deal.
All right, so it's looking good, and I'm glad I caught you online tonight to finish off on that, and hopefully we're going to encourage other people in their states to do the same thing. You know, we do get a lot of downloads, by the way. You know, we probably get more downloads than we do people actually come to the live program, and that's good. That's okay. You know, apparently
mm-hmm
there are people who can't make it to our program, so they listen later, but we do need to get more people listening to our program and getting involved and understanding, and that is up to the state coordinators to get your county coordinators involved. And the county coordinators, once you become involved, you got to be working to get your other county coordinators involved. Work with the state coordinator. And then just get the people involved. Get everybody involved. Let's get it going. Let's get people to these meetings. Let's get some excitement. Let's get some constituted grand juries. Let's get 3,143 grand juries here in the United States.
Well, there are 2 things I'm telling people that they need to be doing as we get a county constituted and even before, and that's get themselves educated, so to do the website, and then build the team of the administrators, because we're going to need those very soon, so we need to start finding people who are willing to and learn enough and are in good honor, justice, and mercy to
right
act as administrators in each of the counties. So that's a
let me talk a little bit about that. Once we get the counties organized here, you know, the people that are bringing this together may not necessarily want to be the administrators, but we need to find at least one administrator for every county. And then, of course, after that, we need to find another one and another one. We teach that we need 4 administrators. Every county needs 4 administrators. So, you know, in the case of New York, we have 62 counties, and with 4 administrators, that's 248 administrators that we need in New York. And the administrators are the people that are going to give the orientation to the jurist, whether to be the grand jurist or the trial jurist. They'll meet with them, with a group of them, and we'll give them an orientation so they understand what their job is. We'll give them a frame of mind. We'll talk about the honor, justice, and mercy. We'll talk about the principles, the 2 major principles or maxims of common law. You know, for every injury, there must be a remedy. In order for there to be the crime, there must be an injured party. And with those tools and understanding a little bit by the videos will be shown and a conversation we'll have, we'll spend 8 hours to do that. And they'll be able now to go in and figure out the problems, you know, the human problems. That's what they are. And try to figure out how they're going to settle it. And, you know, we have to have faith in the people to be able to do this. And what we have to do is give them the tools. So so we're going to work on that. But we do need these administrators to do this organization, to pull these people together, and to do the investigations. You see, the administrators is the arm of the common law grand jury. They're the ones that are being sent out to investigate something and then bring their findings back to the grand jury and give it to them. We may not necessarily sit on that grand jury. You know, we bring the facts to them, and we have a lot of influence to them. And of course, we're going to be doing it honorably. We're not going to take advantage of our influence, and that's the key thing. We, too, honor, justice, and mercy. You know, we don't want to convict anyone or go after someone that's not guilty of any, you know, the last thing we want to do. So we have to do it the right way. We have to do it, the people have to do it. And now, when it comes to working the state, when we have a state problem on a state level, and we're dealing with the assembly, or we're dealing with the governor, or we're dealing with the assembly, the Senate, or the governor. Well, that's when the four administrators of each state, at least one of each state, comes together as a unified grand jury, and we come together and make a decision on what we're going to be doing and dealing to make the assembly obey, to make the Senate obey, to make the governor obey, or even to deal with a sheriff, a rogue sheriff, okay? We will be directly involved with that. But as far as the general public or the general people business or the people with the problems with bureaucrats and stuff, we don't have the time to sit on those grand juries. We don't have the time. Obviously, we cannot possibly sit on a trial jury because we're already biased. We already believe they're guilty. If we're bringing them before the grand jury, we already believe. We already made a decision. Okay, and so we're kind of biased, so we could not possibly sit on a trial jury. So we have to realize that, and we're bringing a case to the grand jury. And we've got 25. Let them vote. We don't have to vote with them. Let them vote. You see, we really want to do this to the people. We're really drawing off the people. We're getting jury pools. We are not a bunch of people out there recklessly just trying to make havoc on these judges or something and seeking vengeance. We're not doing any of that. And when the press really gets the truth to see how we're doing it and that these people are lying, saying that we want to just take control of everything and decide everything and be just decide as 12 people and you think we're going to control the whole state and all this other garbage, they're liars, you know? And they'll have to be called on that, and we'll show them they're liars. The people will know that they're liars. We have to do the honorable thing. All right, anything else before I let you go?
I just wanted to make sure that people in New York who we were working with were straight on this so that
okay, great.
We didn't get people misdirected.
Hey, thanks a lot, Oliver. So, we'll talk to
okay.
you later. All right, bye-bye. Gerard, you're going to have to push me along. We got a lot of callers, and you know how I get lost here, so hopefully you're here. I'm going to take the next caller. 828-807. That's not 828. Hold on a minute. 828-284. 828-284. You got the mic.
Hey, John. This is Jay from North Carolina.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? What's up?
Okay. You got to stop saying you haven't worked for two years.
It's been longer than that now.
You've been working without pay for 2 years, but
yeah.
You've been working damn hard.
Yeah.
So,
true. I've never worked so many hours in my life. To be perfectly honest, this is no joke. I've been able to get up early now. I don't stay up as late as I used to, but I get up at somewhere between 6 and 7:30, and I come straight to my desk. And next thing I look at my clock, it's dinner time, and. And after dinner, I come back here, and next thing I know, it's coming up on midnight. So, yeah, I do put a lot of hours in, and I'm not the only one. You know, there are some people, they may not put that many hours, but they put hours into their regular work, and then they put a whole bunch of hours into this. So they're working hard, too. So.
Well, you got to figure out how to say I stopped getting a paycheck for the work I do 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
But anyways, I was listening to the Thornton tapes again this weekend to the common law.
Yeah.
And he keeps referring to a CD with a lot of information on it.
We have it
do
all.
You have a do you have a copy of that CD, or is all of that
on
the site?
Yeah, we do not have it that way, but we have it within our site. And we have a lot of information. Let me think if I brought... Yeah, you know, his site, he's got so much good stuff on it, but he's so unorganized, okay? We're trying to organize, and there's a lot of stuff we have on our site. We have all the common law and tapes and videos. Then we wrote a book on how to access the court, gives you court procedures, process, how to fill out the papers, what the paperwork is required in order to file a case. And, you know, it starts off, you have to get your index number. In New York, you have to get an RJI with an index number. So there's two papers, two forms there. You need a summons. You need the complaint. You need your affidavit. You need memorandums. I need memorandums. People don't necessarily go in with them, but I always go in with two memorandums that really sets the judge straight. And you can look at those two memorandums that I always go into the court with. They're under judicial, and if you click on, as I said earlier, court case examples, you'll see the first two memorandums down on the bottom, law and jurisdiction and law of the case. I always attach those two memorandums. And then my first order of business before the judge is I object to this whole process. We shouldn't be here. But since we are here, we might as well establish jurisdiction. Do we understand jurisdiction, Judge? And I'm not moving from this courtroom until I get jurisdiction from him. And if he doesn't give me an answer, you know, and he remains silent when he has the duty to speak, he has the duty to speak, and he remains silent to that, then as far as I'm concerned, he's in conspiracy against me. He's not telling me that we're in a common law jurisdiction, and he's making decisions as a nisi prius court, so I know what he's doing, and he now has become a defendant. After I give him his writ of error. And that's how I start all my cases now. And we line up all the lawyers up there. You get them all the judges' lawyers, and we even bring the judge. You know, look at, when you go into a court and you've been hijacked in the Supreme Court and you are hijacked into a nisi prius court, that judge didn't do that alone. You listen to what's going on, and those lawyers are working with that judge. They're working you, okay? And they're hijacking your court and you into their system. And they are all officers of the court. They all took an oath. Even the lawyer took an oath to obey the Constitution. And he and that judge have conspired against you, and now we have a conspiracy. And now these people have violated my unalienable rights, and they have hijacked me into their nisi prius court, and I'm going to sue them all. So I sue the lawyers. I sue the judges. If there's a prosecutor, I sue the prosecutor. We sue them all, and we keep putting lawyers on the right side. Let's keeping them in. Eventually, the next judge will come in and figure it out, and he's going to do the right thing. But if you don't put their flesh on the line, you're not going to get a court case done. I've been in too long. I've spent years fighting battles, and it shouldn't have been, you know, if I'd have done it the first way, fought the jurisdiction on the first time around, at least we'd get through the case in a couple of months, and it'd be done. And we'd get justice. So, anyway, they're up there for anybody to read. Go read them and use them.
Okay.
Jay?
Well, pretty much that's all I had to ask is about that CD. I wanted to know if I could get a copy of that CD. But
yeah, I don't have that CD, but we have all of his work up there. And I'll see, you know, I think we had, there's a lot of his files I don't think we got up there. I'm going to work on that and put it together and get it up there. It'll be very helpful. But the important stuff we do have, the framework of how to write a notice and demand. We have framework on how to write memorandums. Plus, we have memorandums, good examples. We have good court case examples, and a lot of stuff. We have forms. You go into the download the course, and it's a free course. We don't charge for it. Anybody wants it, just go download it. It's a free course on court access, and in there, we got all kinds of stuff, and we may have a lot of thought and stuff in there. I don't remember. I have to go look. You know, it's a zip file. I don't want to zip it right now while I'm online talking. But anyway, I got to move on.
Okay,
we only got about 17 minutes left.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about,
what?
John?
Yeah.
What about the Power Hour radio show? Are you on that?
I have not heard back from her. I'm going to call her again. I was going to call her today again, but I haven't heard back because I haven't heard back from her. So, but I just never made it to the phone before 5. And so tomorrow I'm going to hopefully call.
Okay.
No, I can give you, if you want, I can give you Catherine's number, and maybe you can try calling too to push them along.
Yeah, hang on.
I'll keep you on Skype. Keep me Skype at the end of the program.
Okay. All right, John.
All right. Let me take the next call. We're running close here, and I apologize. There's going to be people who are not going to be able to get in. 203-807, I think we got you. Isn't that, who's that 807? We already got you, right?
Yeah, how you doing? Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yep,
Connecticut. How
yep,
you doing,
gotcha.
John?
Good.
Well, I'll try to be quick then since it's running towards the end. You mentioned earlier about, you know, eventually we'll have media coverage, things like that.
Right.
And, of course, they're going to try to, you know, put us down.
Right.
And, you know, one thing, you know, it's always good to be prepared for what they might say. And it's not, you know, it could be any media. It could be any or even people or groups.
Right.
So to be prepared, like one of the things they're probably going to try to attack is that you probably heard yourself over the last few years, they're trying to, like, get rid of the Constitution. You see, they're using words, phrases that sound good but don't apply to anything. Like they say the Constitution is outdated. And, of course, the people, you know, I try to refrain from saying stupid, but basically their lack of knowledge and their brainwashing is getting them to believe that kind of stuff.
Well, of course, because,
you know,
they've never been taught that in school, so they have nothing to relate to, so they don't know what the Constitution says. They probably never read it. They never got it in school.
Right.
So look, this was a conspiracy in our education. You have to dumb the people down before you can enslave them. You can't enslave a knowledgeable people. Knowledge is power. Knowledge gives you freedom.
Exactly.
And they don't want people with knowledge.
Of course, as you mentioned even tonight about that. But that's the kind of thing we're going to be up against, is that they're going to try to make it seem like young people.
Yeah, I agree. I'm working on a paper on that, and maybe others can too, and we can kind of compare notes and stuff. But you know what? It's really a simple. Their argument is so simple and pathetic. Okay, they don't have like many points and many arguments, so we can cover them all pretty quick in a 3-4 page paper, and that's it. And we get them all. That's how irrelevant their positions are. They have nothing. And you know what? Every time you get into anything with these people, they have nothing. They have no authority, nothing. We come in with footnotes and tons and pages of authority, and they have nothing because there's nothing for them to have except the lie.
Exactly. As you said earlier, there's not much they could actually say about what you're trying to do. But they'll try and go through the back door and say, well, you know, for years we've been trying to get rid of it. No, and what they'll do is maybe they'll pick out one obscure point that might be outdated and then make it like the whole thing's no good, you know?
Exactly,
and then people are going to buy into that ridiculousness. And I'll give you one quick example. There was a famous man in 1996 that says he wanted to build a bridge to the past. And that the people didn't get it because they said, oh, no, we want to build a bridge to the future.
Yes.
You see, well, there isn't a future yet. There's no future.
Yeah.
But you see what I mean? And he lost the election because, you know, he said that, you know, one of the things, you know, he'll probably lose anyway. But the point is that people that have common sense got that. He wants to build a bridge to the past. For what we have, the quality and the character.
Back,
you know,
to our heritage.
Like, yeah. And you see, they just tore that apart and had a field day with it. And the same thing they're trying to do with the Constitution.
Right. Well, that's why we got to do our homework. We got to know our enemy. And I think we know our enemy well enough to know what points they're going to make and how we can defeat those points. And you know what? The bottom line is if they want to try to destroy us with a lie, you know, if they want to use a tweet and they only want to give us a tweet to go back, then, you know, I don't normally talk like this, but I would tell them, hey, look, you know, they're liars. And what else can I tell you? And if you want to know the truth, you can find this paper here on whatever, wherever we put it on the website, and you can find, you can read it, and you can see our real position, and you can see what liars they are. And I'm sorry to say that, but, you know, I don't have the time to say anything more. That's what they are.
Excellent. Well, listen, before you move on to the next caller, next time you have Jay on, ask him about those inexpensive, like, ham radios, because I know last week you were talking about, you know, having a backup
right.
communication.
Right. We're going to be talking about that soon. We're trying to put a program together on that. It's just,
yeah.
You know, we got so many other things to do. But we want to put something together that's cohesive and that people can afford, and people will do a program in such a way that they understand the communicational setup that we want to do so we can always communicate. And we're going to try to get that done soon. We'll go to work on that. So we don't want to just throw it out there. We really want to put a nice program together that people will understand, say, yeah, this will work. This, you know, in bad times, we'll be able to talk. We'll pull all sheriffs together, all our counties and all our people. We'll be able to do what we got to do.
Excellent. Yeah, and I just, you know, giving you the heads up with Jay. Jay probably has a little bit of a head start on you. So
yes, he does.
Next time
he's
you speak with Jay,
yeah,
he's got some good stuff. But anyway, I'll let you go, and God bless, Junk.
All right, you too. Okay, let me go to the next caller here. We're not going to be able to get to everybody, but we'll get to whoever we can. 407-391, you got the mic. 407-391, you should be here. You're unmuted. How come it didn't unmute you? We'll try it again. There you go. You're unmuted.
Hi, John. This is John in Seminole County, Florida. How are you?
How you doing, John?
Good. I've got two questions concerning constituting grand juries in your county. I've already had mine and was successful, and we did it, and then we had a seal. But because I don't really need the seal until the time comes when I file the paperwork with the court,
right.
You can have an election without the seal, technically, right?
You can have the election without the seal. Bear in mind, you got to get some things notarized, and you can't hand the paperwork in without the seal. But even
right.
if you don't, even if you don't file, you've still been constituted. You're still a grand jury. You just haven't notified the court yet, and there's reasons why you haven't done that. It's a strategic reason. But if there's an active counties out there that are doing work and they want to get a bunch of seals, you'll have your seal to punch on and pile on with them as the leaders go forward to make their cases, and they got all this power behind them. Look, we have 18 counties going. Two of those counties never filed, okay? I think they have filed since, but we put their names and their seals onto the game plan here, and they piled on with us. Even though they wouldn't file, it gave us power. And it gave us more authority. So, you know, 62 counties are going to give us a lot more. So the seal cost about $45, roughly speaking, delivered. You can do it online. It'll come to you delivered in 5 days. Someone should take the responsibility of buying that seal. Maybe a few people can pitch in to buy it. But you will get reimbursed at some point. Keep the receipt.
Good. So that brings up my second point. The counties around me, is it possible that I can arrange everything? I can
Absolutely.
Get the library, I can send out the notices,
Absolutely.
And then just get somebody from the county besides myself and maybe some other coordinators
you
around
must,
here.
You must find one person in that county. That's
right,
willing
one
to
person from that
okay.
county.
And
right.
then you can help so, them. Look, I used to make the phone calls. When I used to do a lot of presentations and other, you know, with the committee man things and stuff, and I would call around libraries in the general area where I was heading, and I'd book a room, and then I'd call the people up and tell them and cut out there. But usually the people have a meeting place already because most of them are in some liberty group. So whatever place they're using, they usually can secure that. So,
right,
but yes, what I do, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to all, next three Saturdays, I'm going to all three sections with all these people, and I'm going to do three or so in the western, then I'm going to do four up in the northern, and then I'm going to do three or four
right.
in the central. And I'm going out
but
there
are
with
you
them.
Arranging for these? But are you arranging
well,
for these? That's
well,
what, that's
I have
what I'm
people,
asking about.
I have people working with people to arrange for them to make phone calls. We have a sort of a group of people that's going to be traveling. We have notaries that are coming with us, and I'm going to do all the paperwork for
okay.
all 30 counties or so, and I'll print them all up, and I'll put them in envelopes for each county, and I go up, and we'll have all the paperwork ready for them so we can rock and roll and get it done, okay? So
but
if that's what I got to do, then
that's
what I do.
But what I want to know is, can I do it in
sure.
other counties?
Sure.
So I can
only,
set up everything.
You need one person in that county, bare minimum.
Right. I understand.
Okay?
That. And it.
Everyone else
can
be out of the county,
right.
but you could do everything. But everyone could be out of the county that comes. But nevertheless, that person's got to get into the newspaper, let them know we're having that meeting. We very rarely get anyone
right.
from the newspaper, but sometimes
well,
we
he's
do.
Got to put the newspaper. He's got to put.
Well,
the
someone
pa-
does
the
in a local newspaper. All they have to do
I
is
said
make
I could
the
do
call.
It.
It's a press
I could
release.
Do what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you shouldn't cripple
I'm saying
people.
I could
do it. You shouldn't cripple people too much. Get them to partnership with you. And then follow up to make sure
I'm
it's
having
done.
Trouble finding others in other counties that are willing to do it.
All right,
so
but
I'm
you got to find somebody
himself.
That's going to get the.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah,
find someone that's
going
to get the. They got to get the seal. They got to hold that seal. They got to get. They got to
yeah,
hold the paper.
We don't need the seal until we file.
Well, that's
we don't
true.
Need the seal until we file.
That's true, but let's
so
get it early.
I know, but I don't want to hold up the constituting of the.
Well, I agree on that. I agree on that. But meanwhile, don't wait too long for the seal because someone in the state's going to do something and they're going to look for you to put your seal on it in it for another county so we can all pile on. When we do a unified paper, we have 18 grand juries listed on the top of our papers. Go look on our files. You'll see it. And on the back, you'll see all these seals of all these counties with everyone putting their signature on it. So the back page is like 10 pages of seals and signatures from the different grand juries. That's powerful. That's intimidating.
Okay,
so it's fine. I agree with you for the election, but push towards that seal anyway.
Right.
And if it's
going
to take them, if they haven't got the money and they can't get it, you know, and they go a couple of weeks late, fine, you can live with that. You know, but do what you can
right.
do.
And I
but let's
put
not
a plug
cripple
in
people,
for...
though, too. So we got to get as many people involved as possible in that county. Even if they don't get involved, you know, they need to come. You need to get people to come to the election. Eventually, they will
right.
get involved anyway.
And I'd like to put a plug in for Bill Thornton's audios and Carl Miller's videos. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yes,
on your website.
Are. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where
thank
I.
You, John.
Those are my mentors. So.
There.
Some of them, anyway. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we got a few more minutes. We can take another call or two. Let's see who we can get here. 702-913. 702-913, you're being unmuted now.
Well, hello, Mr. John Durash. This is KJ Kelly from Nevada.
How are you doing, KJ? Good to hear from you.
Thank you, sir. I'm doing very well. I just wanted to make, I'm going to make it very brief because we don't have a whole lot of time left, and I know there's other people that want to talk. I just want to give you an update for Nevada. On
okay.
Nevada, we've ordered our seal for Clark County so that we can get Clark County constituted and file our paperwork. If we're going to do it, we're going to go big.
All right.
I've also contacted Matthew, Peter, Anthony, Paul, Stephanie, Deborah, Robert, Ronald, Jacqueline, Thomas, which are people that are signed up as members for the state of Nevada. They're in all different counties. I sent them out an email introducing myself to them, requesting for them last night and this morning to attend the call tonight, and if they couldn't, to please make sure within the next couple of days before the next Monday night call that they go in and they download that meeting. Now, what I want to ask you is, how can I confirm whether these people are stepping up and participating? And I know you, John, I know what you say, that we got to give them baby steps, like the Lord says. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. But at the same time, attending a Monday night meeting or reviewing the Monday night call sometime during the week before the next call is not too much to ask for your freedom. So
mm-hmm.
how do I – is it possible for me to find out if indeed these people
well,
have –
Well, I think the best way is just ask them.
So just phone, just call up the next day and say, hey, were you on that? Were you on
that's
the Monday
all.
Night call? Because
yeah,
I didn't
wouldn't
see in the chat
test,
room.
Yeah, that's all. I wouldn't test them too much. I wouldn't try to, you know, embarrass them. But I would just ask and then say, ah, oh, come on, next time you got to be, you know, try to listen to it before because this is important or whatever the case may be. But yeah, let's not embarrass them. And I got 90 seconds left. Does everyone hear that, 90 seconds, when they come in and tell me that? Did you hear that? Or maybe I'm the only one that hears that. You heard it? Okay. But anyway, we don't want to embarrass the people. We want to help push them along. And look, at the best way to get someone to involved is to get them to commit over the phone and then follow up. And when they don't do what they're supposed to do, they'll feel bad and they'll try to do it the next time. And they may not do it that, but believe me, by the third or fourth time around, they feel so guilty, they're going to do it. But once they do it, they're going to feel good about themselves. And also, you know, once they get involved, they're going to discover this new habit of making phone calls, getting involved and reading and doing and learning and saving the nation, because it is exciting.
Well, we're going to hold our first meeting next week. And I just wanted to close with, the gentleman asked about a definition for common law, and I don't know what you think about this, but definition, providing justice with honor and mercy to restore the people.
Amen. Justice is the key word there, synonymous with virtue. It means we have to become godly, godly-like. We have to reflect the will of God and the desire of God that he has for us, and that is precisely it. But with that, we've come out of time. God bless everyone, and I'm sorry for those I couldn't get to. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.